This is PFW in Progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what Jimmy really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It was a very good system. There was Jimmy, and Tommy, and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone, and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-No, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
PFW in Progress.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Go, Fred.
Are we ready to go?
Yes.
Gary's rolling his hands like Dante Culpepper after 7 touchdowns, it means you're on the air and talk.
I'm hearing music, and I just see Gary just brought in literally a pile
feast
of Papagino's food.
I think it's time to take a break.
That included an order of buffalo wings for security as well.
Whose is this for? From
Anthony in Naples.
Anthony in Naples. Anthony, you're the best. You got to get up here so we can meet you, take you on the tour.
The Fred Kirsch tour.
And host you. But thank you very much, Anthony, for today's
outstanding.
Today's nourishment.
You haven't even eaten anything, and you're already burping on yourself?
Because otherwise, we don't get to eat.
It's true.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Paul's here. Gary's in the booth. Where's Tom?
Lord only knows.
I assume he'll be down.
He'll be down at some point. It's Thursday, and the hype just can't get any bigger for this game, dubbed as one of the greatest regular season matchups ever. Two undefeated teams, Patriots 8-0, Colts 7-0. Two teams have met this late in the season undefeated. It's just incredible. Two really good teams, the best teams in the league, no doubt about it.
I think the hype is great.
Yeah. And the Patriots are going to blow them out.
I can't get enough of the hype of this game. I think it's great.
No, it's good. It's deserving.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, a lot of times you hype up a game, you're trying to make something. I thought there was a little of that with the Dallas game.
Yeah.
Even though I could understand they were both undefeated.
I
thought there was a little extra on ESPN, NFL Network.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but this one, I don't think there's anything extra you can do. I think this is two.
Arguably the two best coaches, the two best quarterbacks, the two best teams.
Well, it's
two best
GMs. In my opinion, all of those things aren't arguable. Two best teams, two best coaches, two best quarterbacks. Now, you can argue 1-2.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
But I think there's a clear gap between two and everybody else.
And the two teams that met in the AFC Championship last year, which, as we all know, was really the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
You know, so it couldn't get any better than this.
And now we'll find out.
About Greg Easterbrook, I heard yesterday, which don't just jump down his throat because he's Greg Easterbrook.
I like Greg Easterbrook, believe it or not.
Well, I know you do.
And he seems like your kind of guy.
He's very much your kind of guy.
Like, he reads a lot of weird books on weird topics and has very diverse interests and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he is he believes that they should do away with AFC, NFC at some point for the playoffs and just have a seeded playoff system so that the Patriots-Colts could be a Super Bowl.
Not the first person to bring that up either.
And I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Because you can have divisions and conferences for what you have it for now, but then just seed the teams 1 through 12 and figure out how you want to do it. You know, I don't know if it's – does he suggest 1 plays 12? Well, I mean, how does he do it?
Yeah, basically. I mean, he said a seeded tournament like the NCAA
but
tournament.
The only thing about that is then you'd have to redo how they do the schedules every year.
Well, there's logistics involved, but he's not the first person.
Well, the schedule's just about up. 2009 is the last year of the predetermined schedule that they set in 2002. So if you were thinking about changing something,
what's wrong with your mic? I'm getting garbly with Andy.
That's just the way I talk.
Oh.
It could be the buffalo wing.
All right.
Now, is something wrong with my mic, Gary?
Now it's okay.
I hear him fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it's your ears.
No. Okay, so.
But I think some of that stuff, I always liked, I mean, not necessarily this week, because as we just said, I don't think we can get enough hype for this game, but I love talking about stuff like that. What ideas are practical? What are just kind of fantasy and stuff? I like that.
I actually would like to get Bill's opinion on that, but he won't give it, so I won't ask him.
Not until the NFL makes a ruling, and then he'll, then he'll say, well, we do what we're told.
I mean, you know.
Or he gets his ball out of the woods.
Right.
Right now we're talking about this, but in 10 years, you know, I'm sure that NFC will rise again, and there'll be good teams.
But
in
the issue is, there's been long stretches of one or the other dominant.
Right.
So would you want to see Cowboys Niners as the Super Bowl? It's not just that the AFC is better;
it's
getting the two best teams on the biggest.
No,
game.
And through you're always assuring.
By doing it that way, you're always assuring the two best
a chance
teams.
Of the best two best teams.
Right.
Yeah. Because you know, you look at it; it's always been Dallas, San Francisco, or Dallas Giants, or San Francisco, or Redskins. You know, it always seems like. It's come in clumps where one half of it gets the better teams, and we're in the AFC run right now ever since Denver beat Green Bay in that Super Bowl. But, you know, it's worth thinking about, and I'm sure that with Goodell, nothing's off the table. He's shown that no idea is a bad idea, and he's willing to...
Well, some are bad, but he's willing to consider
them. He's willing to explore anything. So we'll
but
see. We'll
we don't really need to be talking about that this week.
But is that all you wanted to talk about with Easterbrook?
Well, I don't want to get into a Greg Easterbrook.
I thought there was nothing else. I just
He's been making the rounds locally on all the radio
stations. I heard him.
Talking about different things.
And by the way, can we – one thing I will say, I think the whole good versus evil thing that – and
that
I still –
I think
stealing,
it's funny.
I still haven't read it, okay? I think it was you know, maybe – you know, the stuff about Brady, the excerpts that I have heard, you know, for him even to say that joking, I don't think is really appropriate, but – he is what he is, and that is a—I don't even know if I'm pronouncing the word right—but a satirist.
He can be, yeah.
He writes satirically.
Yeah,
he said that flat out yesterday on both of his radio appearances. That's what he is. He's not he takes bits of the truth.
Yeah,
and he writes he thinks is
the thing about
an exaggeration in a humorous way.
Right. The thing about Easterbrook is, you know, he's also a political writer. He wrote, I think, for the Republic, that magazine. So he's known in those circles.
He claims this is his hobby.
Well, yeah, it is. And you know, for football fans, I've been reading him for a while. He used to be on NFL.com, and they moved him over to ESPN.com. I'll bet you a lot of Patriots fans, this is the first they've read of him. And I have to say, as a satire piece, usually in a satire piece, there's one or two clues in it that are a little over the top. You realize, oh, okay, he's making – if you didn't know Greg Easterbrook, you might think having – you know, that – he was serious about Tom Brady not doing any charity appearances. I didn't take it that way because I know that he knows that Tom Brady probably does.
But don't you just I mean, the good versus evil to me is the clue.
I think
clue.
It's funny.
But, I mean, that's the clue that this all isn't to be taken seriously because no team is all good and all bad. And
right.
I mean, does anybody
does anybody – do you think even Colts fans think that Tony Dungy and the Colts are this pure as the driven snow?
Oh, yes, they do.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because they are. Compared to us, they are angels.
What, Colts fans?
The fans, yeah.
And he just freely admits.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying like Midwesterners in general.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
all right.
They're nice out there.
Well, let me not say Colts fans then. I mean, even people that are Tony Dungy backers, do you really think that they do nothing wrong? Like they have no skeletons whatsoever in their closet? I mean, no one's perfect. No one's a good versus evil. I mean, I think it was so over the top.
Well, when the Raiders
were
around, they kind of wanted that moniker.
Well, they wanted to be evil.
Yeah, they relished in that. So
and that's what you want now.
But the Colts are no different than the Patriots.
What I'm saying now is I don't care. If people want to, fine, we're bad. If you want to say we're bad, we're bad. I'll take bad if this is what bad is.
Should we change the colors to black?
I like where we are, you know. We're the badass Patriots. That's what we are.
Raping and pillaging.
Yep. I want to hear the lamentations of your women.
We're one step away from getting in trouble again.
No,
it's going to be another one of those Thursdays. Thank God I'm only here for half the show.
Hey, you got big show today?
Mm-hmm.
Big time, big show. That's good, though. You're back in. It's good that they haven't forgotten about
me. I'm going to get
direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
I'm going to have an aneurysm today because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have three Freds on the show. Basically what's going to happen on
Plus,
today.
You're going to have to deal with the A-Rod talk. You better be prepared for that.
What in particular?
Well, you know, whether he should come to the Red Sox.
I thought something happened since I went down to the locker room that I didn't know about.
No. You know,
in which case, I have that little uh-oh.
I'm sure that's going to come up. You know, some Red Sox.
Speaking of baseball, I heard your boy Papelbon dropped an F-bomb on the Late Show last night.
Did he really?
Had to get bleeped out a couple times.
That's all right. I don't care about that. He shouldn't be on the show to begin with.
He said he's been drinking since they won.
I have no problem with that either. You know, they won it. And he was a big part of it, so he deserves to celebrate, you know.
Apparently he is.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I think only a game of this magnitude, I'm talking about the Patriots, could get Boston to stop talking about the Red Sox at this point, you know, 3 days after the World Series. You know, if it was just a game against the Packers or something, I think we'd still be talking Red Sox.
Right, and you should be. I mean, if this was just the Bills, who cares?
Right. But this game is huge. It's huge nationally. The only cities, from what I understand, that won't be able to watch this game is Houston and Cleveland, I think.
And Houston's pulling a fast one. Did you see that?
Yeah, they're trying to do
They're pumping it on a cable station or something.
I'm not sure that's approved yet.
But sounds like whoever runs CBS in Houston is the Fred Kirsch of TV. So I'll do it and make them stop me.
I think the actual percentage is 90% of America will see this game, which is unheard of. So It's worthy of the hype too. I think it's clearly there's no hyperbole.
So what's Houston going to try to do? They're going to try to put it on
like CN8 or like the Channel 3 or one of those channels. Like the cable company's going to pump it in from Plano. Or
you're absolutely right, Andy. That is Fred Kirsch.
Oh, no question.
Beg for forgiveness before you seek permission.
Except I'm guessing they weren't expecting it to necessarily
get out there
mainstream.
Right, it's out there.
They wanted only viewers to know what was going to happen.
So now they're going to be in trouble.
Well, probably.
Pro Football Talk put it up there and goes, "Oops, maybe I wasn't supposed to say that." So
that's one of those things. You want everybody to know about it so that they flip over to the channel, but if everybody knows about it, the league's going to find out about it.
Yeah. Well, the league might kind of
look the other way.
Maybe.
So is that the only other 4 o'clock game? Is Houston and Cleveland? There's only 2 4 o'clock games this week.
I think so. No. It's the Raiders game too. I think.
I thought it was Houston and
Oakland.
But
the Bay Area gets to show it because there are two teams in that. In that area or something along those lines. I forget.
Oh, I thought Houston was playing Oakland. What's the game?
No, so there's 2 4 o'clock games. I'm wondering why Houston and Cleveland are the only ones that...
Well, that's what I heard. I don't know why Cleveland... I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about Cleveland until Fred just
said. Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think so.
All right.
I heard it was Oakland and Cleveland.
Cleveland, Seattle.
I mean, Oakland and Houston.
Cleveland and Seattle play each other. I don't know what time the game is.
Okay.
How far down on that list is Cleveland, Seattle?
They are... fifth from the bottom.
Oh, okay, it's probably a 1 o'clock game then.
Okay, yeah, because there aren't many. Okay, what about Baltimore and Pittsburgh? That's second
Monday
from
night.
The bottom.
Oh,
that's Monday night. So Dallas and Philadelphia.
That'd be Sunday night.
That's Sunday night. Okay, yeah. Well then, Houston at Oakland, Seattle at Cleveland, San Diego at Minnesota.
So maybe the Houston Oakland is the only other 4 o'clock game.
Is it in there?
Okay. But I mean, they've basically cleared the decks for this Patriots game.
As they should.
Yeah, yeah. They should be doing more of this kind of stuff when there's a big game like this. You know?
Should this have been a Sunday night game?
It could have been, but CBS protected it.
No, but why didn't they
just
have it?
No, but why wasn't it just a Sunday night game to start the year?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, why would you have Philadelphia as a Sunday night game to start the year, but not this one?
I don't know.
I mean, people knew coming in that there was a good chance this was going to be the game of the year.
See, this is what, you know, when I get irritated about how they pick the games, Fred, this is one of the games I'm talking about. You know, this is a game that everybody in the country has interest in. Right. You know going in that these teams are going to be good. Okay? They try to get too cute, I think, and they go for these other games that people might think might have appeal, but they don't.
Well, isn't it part of it that, you know, Patriots have had a Sunday night game, Indy's had a Sunday night game, and, you know, the other networks are saying, hey, you can't give NBC all these games. I mean,
this
I don't know how much
I
that has
thought
to do with
when
it.
You started making it, you started from this game and worked backwards in all directions.
Well, so you think that this should have been the game of the season. Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think that's any hindsight. That's people knew coming in there was a good chance this was going to be a great game.
I think one of the fascinating things that we could do but we'll never get a chance is to sit in on those meetings when they make up that schedule. Man, that must be quite a process.
Mm-hmm. If they're truly trying to get the number one game, the best games on prime time, and I understand what you're saying, Fred, that you have to give the other networks, they pay a lot of money too. But I think Andy's right. If you work from this game and say, okay, November 4th, I'm going to have Pat's Colts, that's going to be a night game. So maybe the next best time Indy has a chance to be on at night, maybe we'll give that to CBS.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think if you're really trying to get the best games on in prime time, this had to be one of the ones.
Well, I think that might be my edit letter, is a plea to allow fans to watch that process of picking the games for the schedule and then make it kind of funny. You know, like Ralph Wilson stands up and says something stupid.
Like, what happened?
It's a very complex proposal.
Well, you start working on that now.
Wait a minute.
Because I don't want to wait for that to be done.
The game of the year, and you're writing some cutesy edit letter. Shouldn't you be writing about the game?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the game because the game was so popular. It's along that theme.
Especially if it lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm worried about is that, there's a blowout again.
The hype is so high.
You don't think if the hype in the AFC Championship game lived up to the hype? Of course it did.
Oh, I think that more than lived up to the hype, but was it hype? This is considered the greatest regular season game in the history of the NFL.
Wow.
It's the greatest matchup.
That's what I mean. So,
and you don't need the results.
It has to be the greatest regular season game in the history of the NFL, or it doesn't live up to the hype.
I mean, the history of the NFL, I think, is a little ridiculous.
A lot's happened over the last 100 years.
I mean, the game itself will have its own thing, but going into the game, it's the greatest matchup. Now, whether
you're talking about records
game ever, we don't know.
You're talking about the two undefeated teams, deepest.
It's the greatest matchup ever.
But numerically, that's the case. But I mean, some of those teams we were talking about yesterday. We got an email from somebody, I think it was Alejandro, that talked about the old Niners Giants game when they were both 12-1. I mean, that's a pretty great regular season game. You know, Dallas and San Francisco played a couple times in the 90s. Green Bay played in some of those games. I remember Buffalo, during the Jim Kelly days, went out to San Francisco in a game that was like 41-34, and neither team punted.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Once the game's over, whether it's great or not has nothing to do with
it may not have been 8-0 against 7-0,
right.
But it was 10-1 against 11-1 or something like that. Those are, I think you're splitting hairs when you're talking.
Well, Tom Curran from NBC Sports was on NFL Network yesterday, and he said it's not going to live up to the hype.
He thinks the Patriots are going to blow him out?
Yeah.
He's right.
So
Tom and I just eye to eye. That's
why I think you're wrong, because he hasn't had a pick right all year. And I can say that. He's my co-host on the award-winning New England Pro Football pregame show on WEEI. Gary?
All right.
A little late with the horn.
All right. Well, listen.
Oh, I thought you wanted snoring.
I got to eat some food or else I'm going to pass out. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drive to Forum and a goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there is it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks
and get the Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
and sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress again. Thank you, Anthony, for this spread that you've given us. We are indebted to you.
So all right, saying grace.
Yeah, we should be saying grace, huh? Grace.
Lord.
All right. Back to football, PFW in Progress.
He yells grace and goes, okay.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. 1 o'clock, we'll be going around the NFL and doing our picks. Paul's not going to be here, so he handed over the notepad to me. So I'll be.
That's a special moment in PFW in Progress because
I noticed it's a new notepad, though. It's not.
Oh, it's not the notepad.
It's a brand new one.
Oh, he didn't bestow his real notepad on you.
Yeah,
because that's special.
That's for Paul's eyes only.
It's not new. You look at the front. I have my notes for the week. I ran out of pages in the other notebook.
Oh, okay.
So I threw it away.
All right. Let's see. We should get to some emails since we're going to be doing picks later on.
And Mike Vrabel.
What about
player of the week?
Hey, his first ever?
I believe so, yes. Well, he is having a very good year and had a very big game last week.
6.5 sacks.
Seven and a half. Career high is 9.5. So he's got a very good chance of breaking double digits for the first time.
I thought Colvin was the one that's going to have double digits this year, Tom. Tom's busy eating a turkey sub right now.
And Colvin would have to get near the quarterback to get
double
digit sacks.
Oh, he had a good game, too, last week. Couple pass defenses.
You know what those are? Those are when you can't get anywhere near the quarterback. You throw your hands up.
I'll tell you, one of the Vrabel sacks was caused by Colvin.
Okay.
I mean, he pushed the quarterback out of the pocket, and Colvin came around the edge. So.
You take Colvin, I'll take Vrabel. Who wins?
I'm just saying, Colvin's not having a bad season.
I think he's
You can't play a disappointing season. I beg to differ. Okay. I beg to differ.
We'll agree to disagree. I won't have a bitching fest with you like Paul would.
Paul's just shaking his head. All right. Web radio
at Patriots.com.
Web radio at Patriots.com. Let's get to some emails, shall we? You know what? I'm going to do something different here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to start with some of the emails we're getting during the show.
Isn't that what we've been doing?
No. Because, here's the problem. We get all these emails like prior to the show, hoping to be read in the show. And I appreciate the pre-mail, but I also have to, give credit to the people who are listening live as well. You know, I don't want to discourage them from listening live because we need that audience. We need that in-game participation. You know, it can't be all people listening to on podcasts because they're always...
But we don't want to poo-poo those people either.
We don't want to
Because we have a large audience of podcast
listeners.
Yes,
we do. But let me get to some of the emails that have come in since we started the show. First one is Mike from Columbus, Ohio. He says, I was watching some of the Redskins game and noticed the Patriots lined up with Seau and Rodney Harrison at middle linebacker in some third and four or more yard passing situations. All three of Vrabel's strip sacks came in this alignment. I didn't notice them using it at any other time, speaking of Mike Vrabel. Two thoughts. One, why no Adalis Thomas in this situation? On a couple plays, it seemed he was hampered by his sore ankle when trying to cut at top speed. And two, it seems the defense is still developing and the coaches are experimenting to get the best combinations. I like this and still have hope to see the kind of defensive improvement during the last half of the season and into the playoffs that we've seen in the past years. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think he kind of answered it. I think that, Thomas's injury has kept him out of the game a little bit. Certainly on Sunday, he didn't play full slate. He didn't play every play like you normally would. But I also think part of it is sub packages. And I think you see, especially safeties like Rodney, the bigger safeties, I think you see them occasionally closer to the line of scrimmage, even in inside. They act, Bill talks about it all the time. He might be a safety, but there's plays that he plays linebacker. And there's other guys that are out of position and right, doing different things as well. But I think the number one factor, I think, is Thomas's health. He hasn't been fully 100%. He's been nicked up with a bunch of nagging things. That ankle injury, I think, against Cleveland, Andy? Was it against Cleveland that he got that?
It was against Cleveland, but I think it goes back to training camp.
No, I know. He's got a bunch of different...
He's been limping since camp.
He had a knee injury in training camp. I know that.
I think he had an ankle, too. One day he walked off, and he had tape that went, like, halfway up his shin.
So he's dealing with some things, and I think that's probably the number one factor as to why you're seeing a lot of mix and matching.
You know, obviously, we can't complain about the Patriots scoring all these points and taking these big leads, but could a negative out of that be that they just haven't had a lot of time in their base defense on the field because they're constantly with sub-packages because the other team's being forced to pass?
Well, I don't know about just base defense. That topic was sort of brought up today in terms of Gostkowski not having a last-minute field goal opportunity. Bill said they have it. The whole team hasn't been tested in those situations because they haven't had games that have come down to the wire. So that's two-minute offense where you need a score late in the game and a field goal. That's defense. You know, there's a lot of different aspects they haven't been tested in because when you're up 35-0, you're just the game's over.
And Bill, I thought, I don't know how you felt about it, but I thought that Bill seemed to buy into that a little bit.
Like, now he's buying into the games were over.
No,
he isn't if you ask him about running it up.
No, but didn't you think he seemed to sort of express, I don't want to say concern because that might be a too strong a word, but there was some interest there in that
unproven
line of thinking. They haven't had a money drive on either side of the ball all year. They haven't had a possession where they had to score or had to stop the other team from scoring all year. Now, that's credit to them. I'm not saying that that's a problem. That's a credit to the Patriots.
But you got
to
practice that.
But they haven't really been under fire once in eight games.
So something to look at. Okay.
Of course, I think he'd also be happy if he just continues to go through the season and
absolutely.
Never finds out if he has a two-minute offense, a two-minute defense, or
a
field
happen.
Goal kicker. I mean, yeah, I think he'd be okay if it just continues to roll this way.
Something.
But you got to think at some point, a Steelers game.
If they're not tested this week, they're not going to get tested.
Steelers game. I'm sticking with it.
I don't know.
Unless there's some sort of blizzard
not
schedule
here.
For to hit Foxborough that day, like
I'm just saying,
like the Miami game in 04, Fred. That's the only way that they get tested at home by anybody.
Oh, God, I hope we don't have that.
Let's see. Let's go.
03? Was that the Miami game 03? Oh. Thank you. Gary corrected me.
Sam is from Denmark.
Gary paying attention.
I was going to say, suddenly he's paying attention.
Do we have a pin in Denmark?
Gary wanted to drop an F-bomb there.
Should Belichick put Randall Gay on Reggie Wayne? Hobbs is just horrible right now. I was actually in disbelief when he had Randall L. covered on a Jason Campbell deep ball in the fourth quarter.
Not in a gay way, of course.
What do you think about that? Randall Gay on Reggie Wayne.
I think if Randall Gay was better than Ellis Hobbs, he'd be playing more than Ellis Hobbs.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it. You know, matter of fact, Fred, it's just you and I now.
Right. Now they're looking for Denmark. It's in Europe. Tom's looking at Russia. Now he's on a couch. Now he's standing up on a couch looking at the map. No, they don't know where Denmark is. All right. What do you got? What do you think?
I think
there's
if
a pin in Denmark.
I think if Randall Gay was the better option, I think he'd be playing more.
I think that's a pretty safe assumption, Paul.
Okay. But what about
Hobbs? Do you think he should be
now,
playing?
The question
do
is,
he should
do you think more? Randall Gay is better?
No, I don't. But do you? That's what I'm asking.
I have seen Randall Gay play better than Ellis Hobbs has played the first half of this season. I think Ellis Hobbs has been terrible.
I think Gay has played better so far this year. I agree with that.
No, but I mean, if I'm picturing what I've seen from Randall Gay in stretches of his best play versus what I've seen from Ellis Hobbs, yes, he can perform better than what Ellis Hobbs has. But I also think Ellis Hobbs has stunk, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt to say he can perform better than Ellis Hobbs has this part of the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Hobbs is capable of better. I thought he played better last year at times with a broken wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Than he's played this year. I think
so
he's
what's
giving,
the answer?
Yeah, I think he's giving too much of a cushion.
What's
and
going
that's,
on with
that? You know, I don't know. I don't have the answer there. But maybe that's something we can sort of talk to him about in the coming weeks and see if he thinks that.
I actually, you know,
Tom has suddenly found a new.
He's one of those guys
geography.
That I think you get an honest
coach,
answer from.
Well, that's why I didn't want to talk to him about it this week because, as I told you, I'm guessing he's going to be confident and say he can, you know. But this is the test week. So I think you have a more definitive book on him after this week. If he just lays an egg this week, you got to say, well, what's going on?
Yeah, but I don't know if I agree totally about the Randall Gay side of it because when he played in 04, I think that all of the positive that he did was accentuated because of the great story that he was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Came out
and
of nowhere.
And I think that when he gave up, say, a 15-yard square square out for a first down, you were like, well, you know, okay, he's an undrafted free agent, you know. I mean, what are you expecting?
Undrafted free agent out of LSU.
I just think that I'm not sure that I've seen him play markedly better than
his tackling.
I think he's
I know
played,
for a fact
well,
he
that,
tackles better.
That I
so
agree.
Those stupid little passes that they throw to the receiver in front of Hobbs, and then he dives in an ankle, misses an ankle, and turns it into an 8-yard gain when Jim Sanders makes
that.
A tackle.
I think you're right
Randall
about
Gay
that.
Has done that.
Yeah.
And I've seen Randall Gay make plays on balls. I haven't seen Ellis Hobbs make a single play this year.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the tackling. I think Gay has been very physical this year. I think he's done a nice job tackling, and Hobbs has struggled in that department. I'm just not sure that coverage-wise – the Gay I remember from 04 is any better than Hobbs and not in a gay
how
way.
How much of an impact do you think that Brandon Merriweather might have in this game?
None.
I don't think he's going to have much.
I think if he plays, you're in trouble.
I don't know if it was just a game plan thing and we just had the email about the safeties and Rodney. You know, part of that package was Rashad Baker mm-hmm. was a full-fledged member of that first unit sub-defense. I know that sounds like it's an oxymoron, first unit sub-defense, but first third down of the game, first passing down of the game, Baker was out there in a three-safety set. Now, Wilson wasn't playing. That
right.
tells me that he lost his job to Merriweather lost his job to Baker.
Mm.
Now, maybe it was a game plan thing. Maybe there was a reason. Maybe he wanted a little extra physicality out there, but I would think that Merriweather is supposed to be a combination
physical.
Of physical
yeah.
and athletic. It tells me that he's lost at least some of his
either
momentum.
Either Belichick or his position coach this week, I think, gives Merriweather a little talk and says, you know what? You want to show your worth in this team? This is the week to do it.
And
I think they're going to give him a little bit of a chance to show that this week.
Well, that's got me wondering
chances.
Now. Do you think?
Yeah.
Is that one of those things that you think, or do you think?
No, I think that.
Because someone else told me they think that,
oh,
too.
Oh, really?
Someone who's tied in like you.
And I got to tell you, it wouldn't make any sense in the world based on the fact that he hasn't played a meaningful snap in 8 games. That you're all of a sudden he's going to be out there covering.
Well, they're hiding him.
There's a guy called Derek
Alexander.
That's
what the other person is saying.
Really? That's not what I meant. All right.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm wondering about.
You know what? Craig's on the line. He'll clear it up for us. Craig, how you doing?
What the
I'm
line?
I'm doing good. What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much. Are you as excited as we are about this game coming up?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty pumped about the whole thing.
One
element you guys haven't talked about, you talked about, you know, the different guys in coverage. Harrison has missed two of the last 3 ball games, and the one game that he did play, Harrison only caught 1 ball for 3 yards, and, you know, we're getting obliterated with the hype here, and one of the messages that's kind of, you know, going under the public notice is the fact that Harrison's problem is more bone-related than muscle-related. That being the case, and knowing that he's going to be playing in this game, don't you think it would be a good idea to maybe keep Hobbs on Harrison and just bump the living piss out of him on the line? And, you know, I mean, that way he's not such a coverage issue.
Absolutely. I think,
Craig,
I mean, it's a good point. I don't know if Hobbs is the guy that should do it.
I just want to say one. Didn't you? I know you listened yesterday, Craig. We must have had 10 emails on that yesterday, switching Hobbs and Samuel on Wayne and right. Harrison, respectively. That's been a big thing that people are talking about. I'm not sure the Patriots will do it because they generally haven't flip-flopped their corners this year, right. But it's not unprecedented. They have done it in the past. So.
And it's not unprecedented for Bill to
right.
change anything like that
absolutely.
In a Super Bowl, in a big game, in a first
thought.
Game of the year, whatever it is.
It's
go
a good
right
thought.
For his knee.
It's a good thought. It could happen, Fred.
Are you Bob Sanders on Brady?
It's a big game. It's a big game now. Come on.
You guys correct me if I'm wrong, but...
All right.
That's how Gary corrects people.
The second half of Sam's email is, if the first round pick we get from the 49ers next year ends up to be in the top 5, should we take a guy like Darren McFadden or trade down to address the needs at linebacker and secondary?
Tom, you want to be Joe Draft? I don't think there's any chance they take a guy like Darren McFadden.
No,
in the top
I wouldn't take
myself,
him.
I love McFadden, but I don't think they take a running back that high 2 times in 3 years.
I don't know how tough he is. I see him on the sidelines when the games are on the line with this and that. I like him talent-wise. He's not one of those guys I'd take a top-5 pick on, especially if I were the Patriots. And I mean, they don't need running backs.
I don't think it's a big enough need to invest a top-5 pick in.
It's not like they're the Vikings where they're going to load everything up on the run and you need a guy like Peterson to carry you. They don't need him.
And plus, I know we always say it, but... if this is the one chance they have to get the best linebacker and put him in a system and build a linebacker, I think you got to do it. If you can find an guy with all the tools you think you have, and we know that they've seen guys they've liked over the years, but just weren't anywhere near in position to get them.
You know,
this is the year, if there's a guy you like, you're going to be in position to get
him. At that high, though, you can also look at corner. If Samuel should leave, you're going to be up there where you can get one of the premier corners, mm-hmm. too. And that's a position, you know, they kind of...
I just feel like for them... with whatever it is at linebacker, the pool must be so finite, so small, that this is the year where, even if that pool is only one deep this year, they should
be
in position to get the one. Where I think they look at corner and say, every year, we like him, there's 3 or 4. Running back, there's probably 3 or 4. Receiver, but they just clearly have a very, very small window of what a linebacker is for them. This year, you have the opportunity to get, if there's even one, you have the chance to get him.
Hooker just sent us a whole new set of passwords for a new company that he's working with.
Hooker?
Okay.
So I'm not Hooker. Strippers.
It was like, do we have a new
So we have creep? we have new passwords now?
Yeah, but it's new. It's a new list of sites.
Don't delete that email.
Oh, yeah,
or
forward
Paul,
that.
Make sure you forward
I
that.
I say strippers isn't working for any company, that this is all illegal, but I'll gladly go on those sites.
I think he... Hey,
it doesn't get me in trouble.
On the phone right now is our benefactor. Today, Anthony, how
Yay,
you doing?
Hey, Anthony, well done.
Hey. Well done. Okay, I take it you got it then.
We did.
All right. How was Tom Stubb?
Good.
Not cut.
not cut. Which is funny for all of us.
It didn't last long.
Nope.
It didn't last long? Okay, good. I don't listen to it live, so I want to make sure you guys got it.
We did. It's phenomenal.
What's
went above
the subject
and beyond.
Line today?
What's that?
What's the subject line today other than Patriots, you know?
The hype.
The just hype?
The hype for this game. Can it live up to the hype?
Believe the hype.
Great. You know, I really think it's going to be – I'm just excited. I cannot wait. And I'm glad it's a 4 o'clock game because there's a little bit less games that you don't have to pay really attention to. You know, you get the 1 o'clock games out of the way.
Yep.
And you just focus on this one. And I don't know. I think they're going to cover the point spread. I was actually pretty shocked that it opened up at 6.5, you know, as in the Patriots. But I think they'll cover that, and I think they might win by like 14-21.
Now, I thought it opened up at around 4. And it
different
went up
places
to 6.
Had it at different things. It was between 4.5
and
6.5.
Yeah, I work with Bodog. I always go on Bodog, and it opened up at 6.5 on there, and it hasn't moved since.
Oh, it's still 6.5 there?
From last time I checked yesterday,
I think it's 5
it's
here.
5 or the place that I go to.
Yeah. Oh, was it 5?
I think what did it open up at?
It opened up at 4 where I am,
so
and it went
go
up to 5.
Yeah, I don't think that they're getting the Patriots, they're getting any money, you know, they're not luring anybody to bet on the Colts.
No. And I think that part of that is this offense.
Yeah.
You know, people are seeing what they're doing every week, and they're saying, how can you bet? How can you?
What's the number?
Because it's nothing.
56.
56. I think that's low, don't you?
It's hardly ever 60s in the NFL. I think I've seen it once, and it was with the Rams.
This is a hardly ever offense, though. We're starting to see these numbers.
Well, I'm just telling you how the Vegas line works. You don't really see 60 in the NFL.
I know, but all these teams have to do is score 30 each, and that blows it away.
And the Patriots have been scoring, 48 in the last three games?
Maybe.
Am I the only one, or does everybody think it's amazing? I honestly thought it was shocking to see the Colts underdogs at home.
No,
I think that's
I actually said it after week two, that I think the Patriots would be favored by 3.5 at Indy, and then obviously they put up back-to-back-to-back 48-point win a 48-point games, and it went up.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked at all. I think the Patriots are better, and I think everybody else knows it.
Yeah, it was. If you bet these games like early on, and the Colts were at one point a 3-point favorite, so if you had bet the Patriots early, right now you got them plus 3 in Indianapolis.
Wow.
Yeah. I got one last thing to say, guys, you know, before I go. And, you know, I just, you know, I try to hold myself as a fairly intelligent Patriots fan. And I just want to let everybody know out there that, you can't hate Peyton Manning. You just can't. You actually have to thank him and enjoy this game because of all this hype and just realize that we're watching history.
Yep.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Well said from a rational Patriots fan who does a phenomenal job feeding us.
I think we've been pretty consistent on this show about giving Peyton Manning his due. We haven't bought into that.
Yeah,
you can't like Brady without hating Manning and vice versa. They're both great.
Yeah, I agree.
I know.
With you,
I think
Fred.
It's
I've
childish.
Never heard you say
I think
that.
It's absolutely childish
I agree with
to
you.
Hate Manning.
I know, but I've said
right.
it before.
No, and I'm saying I'm defending you. I'm saying I've never heard you say that.
Oh,
you know,
right.
It's Brady and Manning. I've never heard you say that once.
No.
A lot of other Patriots.
Now, Bledsoe, but no.
Well,
but Anthony,
Bledsoe doesn't even belong in the discussion. Let's call that what it is.
And I think most educated Patriots fans, good
Peyton
football
Manning
fans,
sucks.
Realize it. But I think what you get is like I know friends' wives, like the outside football fans who just look at it from afar, they do grow to hate Peyton Manning. They latch on to, oh, he makes too many stupid commercials and blah, blah, blah. And those are the people that hate him. I don't think people that really watch football, if you're a Patriots fan, Colts fan, I don't think you hate the other guy.
No.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed, too, because I was watching the NFL replay again last night, it's actually probably the third time that I watched that AFC Championship game. And I'm sitting there looking at him on the sideline, you know, and, you know, he has his head down before that interception that Brady throws.
Yep.
And you could just see how emotional he was, like, during that whole drive there. And you just saw it in his face, like, please, God, don't let him beat me again.
Oh, I know. He wouldn't even look at it.
Yep.
No, he wouldn't even look at it. And you know what, though? Seeing him play this season, too, and even, like, last season, you saw his maturity level just go up because he feels like he doesn't have to win it all the time.
And,
you know, he always hands off that ball to a guy. And, you know, it's making them a better team. And I just think, like, this is going to be the greatest football game we've ever seen. Or I'm only 28 years old. And I'm happy that I'm able to see this game.
All right, Anthony.
All right, take it easy,
stuff.
Guys.
Thanks.
We'll see you. Thanks for the food.
Thanks again.
In Florida, going to be able to watch the game because 90% of the country will.
That's the kind of guy I think might be a little disappointed.
Well, yeah, if you think it's going to be that
because it has to best the AFC title game.
How could it possibly live up to that?
But whether or not you're a Patriots fan, that AFC title game was unbelievable.
One thing I thought that was a really good point that Anthony brought up, though, was Manning's change. And there was definitely a change. I can't point to when it was or what specific thing it was, but I could tell you 2 years ago, there's no way he hands the ball off to Joseph Addai on that last drive on the goal line. There's no way he does it. He's throwing the ball there. And it may or may not have been complete. Who knows? But there's no way he trusts someone else to make a play for him. And he did in that game. And I go back to my talk with Teddy Bruschi all the time after that game. And walking back to the bus, that's all Teddy talked about was, how can you possibly do anything to fight what that guy did in the second half?
Oh, yeah.
He was dead on perfect with everything he did, every decision he made, every throw he made. Virtually flawless. He made a couple of mistakes in a whole 30 minutes of football, and that was it. And they couldn't stop him. And it was because he took what the Patriots gave him, and he's really used that philosophy all year. You look at his numbers, they're good. Any quarterback would be glad to have 13 touchdowns and 3 interceptions after 7 games. Those are solid numbers. But they're not Manning numbers. Not numbers that he's accustomed to, that's for sure. And they don't even come close to what Brady's doing.
Yep. All right, Dave from the Philippines writes in. He says, there's a really good write-up on the Pats and the whole good versus evil running up the score stuff on the Washington Post today. There's a link to it on Patriots.com News Blitz. Thank you, Eric, the leg. I highly encourage all of you to read it. It's great stuff. I don't think the writer is a sports writer by trade, as there are a couple of words that I didn't even know in it. But the overall tone of the article was great.
What
she sounds like
dumb?
She liked the raping and pillaging stuff, too.
Who? What?
I don't know. We'll have to get – Gary will effort that.
I don't think Gary can
after
even hear you.
After he gets that Red Queen.
He can't hear us.
Brian is saying that the Bay Area has a blackout for the local game so they can show the Patriots-Colts.
Okay.
So Oakland has –
So it's not a sellout in Oakland, so they can put on any game they want.
Let's see. Let's see. Dave from the Philippines says there's 2 other 4 o'clock games, Seattle at Cleveland and Houston
at
Oakland.
So you were right, Fred. It's Cleveland.
I thought I remembered seeing Cleveland somewhere.
So Seattle must not be able to have it either. If Seattle's on the road, they have to get Seattle.
Right. Yep. Let's see. Clint from Omaha says, love Accra, talking about the weekly program. But is there any way you guys could do a weekly TV podcast, maybe a weekly pick show or preview of next week's games?
Yes, it's called the PFW show, and Fred just has to ask for the tape.
We got to get the tape.
Hey,
we do a TV show every Tuesday night. So
except for big games.
Get that out.
You ever think about a couple people asked me. A couple people were the thing I was at.
Who?
Who
cares?
All right.
Listen.
Joe Schmuckatelli.
People that I was trying to promote the show to.
Who's asking?
Those people. They asked if we ever do any promotion or anything because they had never heard of us. And I was thinking, they're kind of right, though. Do you ever think about doing something like a PFW page? It kind of,
on Patriots.com?
Yeah, something like that that explains what we do and blah, blah, blah.
Well, we have the whole thing on the left-hand side, PFW, ask PFW, and links to the articles and
what
all that
stuff.
What about
our television ads that we used to do?
We used to do
Chris
TV
Slade
ads.
And William McGinnis.
Yeah, I used to produce them and direct them.
Give me back my Patriots Football Weekly.
They were good, though.
Get your own copy.
That was a good one. That was a good ad.
You got any of those lying around?
I do, actually. I probably have tapes of them. They were good ads. Get your own copy.
Get your own copy.
Well, we do have a billboard in the stadium.
Yeah.
Behind a wall, right. Under the stairs, over in the corner.
It seems like the show is starting to progress a little
bit. So we should get more promotion out, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying a couple people had said to me, I never really heard of you before type thing. And
do we still have in stadium the ad on the Jumbotron?
I don't know.
Or Jumbotron, as Mayor Menino would say.
Gary would know. Gary, what do we have for PFW as far as
he gets so annoyed when we ask him these questions.
Lord.
I'm not annoyed. There is no advertising in stadium.
That's not good.
That's unfortunate.
Can we get that back?
If you'd like to outbid some of the sponsors, sure.
Okay.
Don't I work for the team?
So
I'll effort that.
We can get those Patriots license plates up there, but we can't get PFW that's been around
for
13
I like that
years.
Attitude, Fred.
And you're blaming me?
I'm not blaming anybody. It's just an observation,
Just saying.
Just saying. That is a charitable
Clint
endeavor.
Clint also says,
if you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriots specialty license plate.
Have the Pats ever had multiple wide receivers in the Pro Bowl? Appears Welker and Moss are well on their way.
Have they ever had multiple receivers in the Pro Bowl?
I don't think so. I know they've had 2,000-yard receivers in the same year. Harold Jackson and Stanley Morgan did that, but I don't think they've ever had two in the Pro Bowl in the same year. I'll look that up, though, when we get a chance.
Dan in Fairfax says, going into the season, I think more people thought that San Diego and New England were the two best teams, and that wound up being a Sunday night game on NBC. People thought the Colts would be down after losing all of their free agents. I think CBS would have objected to losing both New England, San Diego, and New England, Indianapolis, so NBC gambled on showing the San Diego game instead of the Indy game.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, given that they knew, given what they knew and when they knew it, I would have made the same decision.
Now, I will say that it was a fair point. I disagree with the perception of Indianapolis, but I do think the perception of San Diego was exactly what you guys just said. And that's a fair point. That might have been considered the bigger game of the two. But the people, we talked about it on this show, Fred, the people that thought Indianapolis was going to struggle, just weren't paying attention to the talent that they quote-unquote lost.
And in theory, wasn't the New England-San Diego game safer at that time, too? Because you think they're both going to, you haven't had a season-ending injury to the quarterback yet, right, in all likelihood. And, I mean, it didn't work out that way because North Turner was coach of Chargers. But
yeah, but they did. They were both 1-0.
It was a pretty safe pick.
Let's see.
They did not go that year. They doubled up just
now. No, I knew that, but I didn't know if they ever had any.
Not so far as I can tell.
Jason,
just so you know, some of these are easy to look up when I was doing my feature.
Well, they have a Pro Bowl list. You know that. Year by year, Pro Bowls. Look in the table of contents.
I was worried. I was doing the point differential because they're going to blow away the franchise record for point differential as they blow away the league record.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to have to go look because it's not in the media guide, so I'm going to have to go year by year. But most years, the other team scored more points, so it was easy to flip past those. Or it would be like 305 to 302. But most year, they got blown out, like 100 points for the Patriots, 370 for the opponent.
Jay says there's a link to a webpage that lists national games accompanied by a national color-coded map. I guess it's the506.com/NFL maps. So if anyone wants to go check that out.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
What's the 506.com? What is that?
It's just, I don't know what that is, but they show the map and the entire country is like blue or red or whatever. And then you had the Oakland and Houston area shaded the other. Then Cleveland was gray.
Okay. Matt is one person from Quincy who doesn't like Greg Easterbrook. He says Easterbrook is a bit of an intellectual snob.
I agree with that.
He definitely sounds like that.
I agree with that, too.
His column is like the War and Peace of football writing. It goes on and on forever. I'm a football fan, so I try to follow what he writes, but some stuff is so obscure, it just screams, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah.
What I do remember about him is
PFW never screams that, so if you want to feel comfortable, read our paper.
Right. He was fired.
We're not smarter than anyone.
He was fired by ESPN for anti-Semitic remarks he made in his column a few years ago when he worked there. I went back and read it, and as usual, it was hard to follow, but he blamed the Jews in Hollywood for many of the world's problems. All that said,
so does my father.
He's just trying to tweak fans on each side of the issue. If you love the Pats, you're pissed. If you hate them, Easterbrook is the greatest. Either way, he wins. His column is relevant for a change.
You don't have to be Jewish to like Feldman, but it helps.
He wins because there's been more talk about this guy the last 2 months than any reporter in the world, so he wins regardless.
Absolutely.
They've never had multiple wide receiver Pro Bowlers.
And they have a very good chance of having that happen this year, I would say.
Wow.
I don't know.
Cappelletti made it in 61 and Colclaw in 62, so there was a chance those two could have gone. Well,
I don't know the point you just
really
made, Paul, but Johnny in Frederick, Maryland says you're right. Wow, I never thought I'd say this, but Paul is right with that last point he just made. What point was that? I don't know.
See, the funniest part of that is no one knows what I said.
Also, Rivers, this guy could not catch herpes in a whorehouse. When will he get cut?
Whoa.
That's a good line.
Whoa.
Also, the NFL
Network.
What does
he have, one drop?
Two.
And he had two that I thought he could have had.
But he showed fine hands in camp in the preseason, and I turned to you in the press box when he dropped it and said, oh, now we know why he was available in mid-August. But, I mean, when you got two banged up, a guy on IR, you're certainly not cutting the five-year veteran.
That's
I mean,
but that's funny.
He also says that the NFL Network chick is hot.
Yes.
No question.
Ooh, yeah. Alex?
She's hit, no, not Alex Flanagan, who is, by the way, hot.
No, this girl, and she seems
Michelle
pretty young.
Michelle something, right?
She seems pretty young.
Oh, yeah?
She's Gary, any Gary
young 20s?
Ready?
Maybe.
That's
one,
all the creepy
two,
information.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
negative
8, 9, 10.
No.
She thought he was here again today.
Also, Cork Soakers, please, when you are doing, tell me when you're doing a webcam. Come on, Fred. It will be awesome for us to see you guys. Technical note, get a wide angle for Andy's head.
Hey. I have a problem. What's it called, Paul? Heavy Sebasophis?
I forgot that.
If you want the real story on the Patriots, read PFW.
That's true.
Andy, we had a trick-or-treaters come last night, so I'm holding
the dog. I'm surprised you didn't just have the lights all off.
I was holding the dog while Allison was handing out the candy. And this kid walks up, and he's Stewie from The Family Guy, and his head was so big that he couldn't even get through the door. And I said to Allison, hey, someone came as Andy Hart.
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Pacelli.
It was huge.
I still can't believe that Tom didn't have the lights off and the shades down.
Well, no, because he had to show off the dog in the pumpkin outfit.
This is true.
Walked him around the neighborhood.
He dressed up his dog.
Let's see. Clinton Omaha says over 63,000 people voted on Sports Nation so far, and by a slim margin, 47% to 44%. People said, doesn't that add up to, oh, no. People said that they would be rooting for the Patriots. I was surprised that New England would be leading with all the bad pub recently. What do you think this is due to? Pats fans showing up in droves, or do you believe people are tired of the Colts/Manning love fest?
Probably a little bit of both.
I think nobody hits the internet in spots like this, like New England fans.
Yeah, the Indy, you know, got to remember, Indy's not a large market.
Right, they're a tiny, Colts Nation, not real big.
The Red Sox dominated those online things. Right. Andy talked about it a couple weeks ago with the all-star voting that the write-in candidate gets on the internet. Every time they have one of these polls, it seems like the Patriots do very, very well when the fans are voting.
You know, the Indianapolis market is small. It's, you know, it's not, they don't have the numbers that we have, or Chicago, or New York.
And who benefits from that? Us.
Yeah.
Getting food every week from our nation of listeners on the internet.
I got news for you. There's still a lot of people in Baltimore voting against
him. Although I have to say, whoever's giving Jimmy Irsay advice these days
that
really needs to be fired.
That raffling off a ring?
Well, did you see what they did? They dressed him up in like a circus outfit.
He looked like a buffoon.
Oh, my God.
Hey, didn't the Red Sox raffle off rings, too?
No, that's not what I'm worried about.
I thought
dressed up like a ringleader with
a top
hat.
I think what the Red Sox did was silly, and I think this is silly, too.
Sounds
I don't
sillier
like
if the guy was in a circus outfit.
We kind of chuckle when we see Mr. Kraft when he goes out to practice and he has his windsuit on, and, you know, he looks like one of the coaches.
Right.
At least
he's
the owner of the team. He's going out to watch practice. He's got Patriots attire on. That I can't believe someone let Irsay go out looking like
and
that.
And Mr. Kraft also made some money, right? I mean, isn't Irsay his father's son?
Like, that's isn't that true. Weird? I mean, everybody's their father's son.
No, but Mr. Kraft went out and made some money.
Well, I don't. Yeah. Well. Anyway, that's not.
I don't
what
like
I'm
people
worried.
That are born into money.
Well, I wouldn't mind it if it was me.
Well, yeah, me too. That's probably why I don't, because I wasn't.
Yeah, I wish I was Fred's son.
And he's also
for somebody who just finished paying off his student loans yesterday. I
you
wouldn't
did?
Mind it. No.
Oh.
I'm exaggerating, but it took me a hell of a long
time. That's twice he got you today.
Took me a long time.
Well,
to
no, because. Deidre seriously has like 20-year college loans that we're going to be in our 40s by the time.
What are you complaining about? You get a free mattress.
Oh,
now you're
up.
Buying a sectional. You have a tractor.
Did you pick up that
you
mattress?
You have a TV bigger than my house. You have
I've
a
had
brand
the mattress
new house.
Since March.
Oh, okay. Did you pick up the check or how did that
I sent
work?
It yesterday. You have to fill out a form and then they mail you a check.
Okay.
And then I'll be taking that to get a sectional.
All right. Let's see. John Quaglietta writes in. I don't believe I've ever heard from him. See, it must be a first
time. It's a new name to me.
He says, Patriots 38, Colts 24. This will be achieved if, 1, the Pats O-line holds up and stops Freeney. 2, Pats attack Colts defense like it did the Redskins. Arguably, the Redskins have a better secondary, but the Pats need to do the short, medium, and long passing and effectively working in the run. 3, Pats defense pressures Manning. 4, Pats defense covers the middle of the field. No big plays to Clark and UTEC up the middle. And 5, finally, Pats defense shuts down the run in part.
I got to tell you something. If all that happens and it's 38-24, something's wrong.
Right.
It should be about 58-0 if all that happens.
Let's see. Kevin says, if it's a close game, do you think Guskowski can win one for us since he has not made an important kick all season?
I think he can.
I think he can. I don't really have many worries.
No, I don't know if he will.
Should I start the Pats defense in my fantasy league this week?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Unless you don't have any options.
You should be able to find a better one than that. Let's see. Gentlemen, forgive me, says Tony. I'm always days behind since I work by day and have to tune in to the podcast. Just wanted to chime in on Tuesday's discussion. Uh-oh. Well, we're going to skip that because we went over.
I thought we were going to get to say some bad words again since he was going to bring them up.
He hated the Bears. The Super Bowl shuffle made him cringe. But the one classy thing they did is they kicked our asses when it mattered and showed they were the best team in the league. Okay, he goes down. NFL is about brutality. There's a reason we're not watching golf or figure skating. So anyway, that kind of thing. But he has a question. Here's my question. This is an 0-1. Somewhere out there in the NFL are the 0-1 Patriots with an untested quarterback, an unproven coach, getting better each week as everyone ignores them, and we argue about the best way for the Patriots to be gentle with other teams. Here's my question. Who is that team this year? Who is the 0-1 Patriots that's kind of getting better every week?
Who's been the 0-1 Patriots the last 6 years since?
I don't know. That's not his question.
No, but I'm just saying I don't think there is one. My point is I don't think there is one, and I don't think there has been one. I think the 0-1 Patriots are ridiculously special because of that. I don't think that just happens every year where a team comes out of nowhere, gets better as the season goes on, and goes on to win the Super Bowl. I can't even think of one.
Yeah, I think the closest thing you could say to one is Tennessee. Kind of the Tennessee. They win games like 17-13. You know what I mean?
They have a quarterback who could make
special plays.
I'm not
comparing them to the 2001.
Yeah, they were on the cusp of the playoffs last year.
No, I know. But
no one's saying they're the 2001 Patriots. We're just saying one of those teams that
if they win, they'll be magical. They'll start rolling.
They don't look good. You know what I mean? Like you never look at Tennessee and say, boy, that was a real butt whooping. They just kind of, they're there. They're getting outgained. And like that Atlanta game, Paul, when you had Tennessee, the Atlanta had the ball inside the 15 like 14 times and couldn't get in. They play like that. But, yeah, I agree with Paul. The 2001 Patriots, if we see another team like that in our lifetime, it'll probably be a shock.
Ray from Springfield says, what? Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it here on Patriots Radio that I heard you guys say that the Weiner Easterbrook's comments were bordering on slander and that someone from the Patriots charitable organization should send him a letter?
Probably
from 2 to 4.
John Rook.
Okay.
Not on this show.
Yeah. And plus, even if it was on this show, that's what I said today. Maybe somebody else has a different opinion. You know, we all have different opinions. But
that is true. We do all have different opinions.
That is for sure.
But I do think that John Rook went off on him.
Probably. He is Homer Rook.
Yeah. Well,
can't have too many of those, Freddie.
Right? I personally still feel that the idiot Easterbrook was snubbed by the Patriots organization when they hired the PFW staff, and now he finally has a chance to get even. And as far as the comparisons, to the other high-powered teams of earlier years, do you think that is more the media raising the question of the Pats running up the score rather than the fans?
Doesn't he isn't he an editor at the New Republic? Yeah, he's for ESPN.com.
Nobody who talks the way he does doesn't have money. He's loaded.
I was going to say, I don't think he's sitting there going, those stinking PFW guys.
He's got a smoking jacket and a pipe, and he's rich. Leather-bound books. He's got it all.
As far as the matchup with the Colts, we have the best chance this year of drubbing the Colts. We have a strong defense and finally an offense that compares to the Colts. This should be one of the games for the century, and I predict Pats by 16. If the offense can put up the numbers they have the first 8 weeks, we'll be keeping Manning off the field enough times to keep him from getting into his rhythm.
If the Pats win by 16, why is it the game of the
century?
Won't
be.
That was my question.
Well, and that was also my, Paul, some people are going to be disappointed. This game's not going to live up to the century-like hype.
Oh, it sounds like if it's another...
This is the 100-year flood.
It sounds like if it's a repeat of the AFC Championship game, even with the Patriots winning at the end, it won't have lived up to the hype.
I got to tell you, unless two linemen are going to score again, it's not going to have all the events of the AFC Championship game.
Three with Klecko, a defensive lineman.
Okay. Rich is from Minnesota, went to school at BU, then got smart and transferred back home to the University of Minnesota.
You ain't lying.
Now Beantown is champion city, and I'm stuck with the horrible Gophers. Not that the Terriers are better. Terrier football undefeated since the 90s. Because they don't have a team.
This is true.
Okay, a short break from football. This magic trick will predict the number that you guessed. Okay. Pick any number between 1 and 12. All right?
What the hell is this?
I don't know.
7.
Look at
a
clock.
I don't think you're supposed to say it, are you?
Look at a clock and find the number directly across from the one you picked. And
it's
remember
digital.
Oh, so we can't do
that. Yeah. Sorry. But,
you know, they have cordless phones now, too.
That poor guy is. Have you seen how many times on different shows they've used that graphic of Minnesota fans sulking because all their stars are in New England winning championships? I've seen it on for, like, basketball because. And they show Ortiz, they show Randy Moss, they show Garnett. That poor sap living in Minnesota is going to see that. I mean, because the Celtics are going to play it during Celtics games and talk about it. And it's going to keep coming with the Randy Moss thing.
Well, I'll finish his email. Back to football. Who's a better fantasy start, Dante Stallworth or Marvin Harrison this week?
Stallworth. I don't think Harrison's healthy.
Probably Stallworth.
I predict the Pats win 42-35, only by a touchdown. But I'm feeling an injury that could really hurt the Pats, perhaps Welker or Moss. Jeez. Finally, keep up the good work, you Bill Walshing, cork-soaking, peckerwood bitches.
That's a good conclusion to that email.
So, geez, I hope there's no injuries coming out of this.
Especially to Welker.
You got that right.
You only root for injuries to, what was it? Marvin Harrison hit his knee.
Let's see. Paul's getting ready to leave. He's got to get going. What are you doing, Paul?
You're going to write down your picks?
That. What are you closing that up for?
My point.
What are you doing?
I'm going to take something.
You have notes for the radio?
No, I need that when I write my story.
RJ writes in. He said, I had looked at this game as the tell-all for the Patriots 08 season because of the way it ended last year. But lately, I haven't been as worried about the outcome. I was able to see a couple of Colts games this year, and although I'm almost always impressed by Manning, it seems as though their team does not have the power on either side of the ball that we do. I watched the AFC Championship game last night, and I literally felt bad for Brady at certain points of the game. He was playing great, but the receivers were, SH, you know what. Balls were dropping to the turf because Ricochet didn't know how to run routes, and when he was wide open, he dropped it.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
You got that? Mickens and Hawkins were running around in the secondary, and Bruschi had to play almost the whole game. I think it'll be a lot different this year. At this point, I consider the Cowboys to be a tighter matchup with the Colts. I hope it's a close game, but unless our defense falls apart in the third quarter, they'll never catch up. And I don't think they'll do that twice to Belichick, not the way Tom described the death in his eyes leaving that game last year. Oh, yeah. I talk about you describing Belichick. Oh, yeah, and whoever said that Moss isn't going to get jump balls is wrong. Or if he doesn't get any, it's not because he can't reel it in. I saw Gaffney get one against Hayden in the AFC Championship game. Also, I hope Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour hump Saturday and crew all day. What? Oh, Saturday. Jeff Saturday.
Yes.
I got you. They looked nasty last week. Anyway. Mike in Tampa, who's the Colt fan, is calling in. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Mike?
What's up? You guys doing your predictions today?
We're going to do them in a few minutes, yep.
Oh, okay. I just called to put my little prediction in here.
Wow. Poor guy. Their website doesn't have a show like this, so he comes to us, talk football, make a prediction, and Gary Gerdecky blows him up.
Mike, you know, Mike in Tampa, email in. If I see your email, I'll read your prediction. Okay.
The power's gone to his head in there.
With that, we're going to take a break. We're going to get to the predictions, and if we have time, more of your emails.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drive to Forum, and the goal! 1-0 Rams! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Rams! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks. Get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here, PFW in progress. It's Thursday, so that means we're going around the NFL. Paul has left for the big show, so if you're in the Boston area, you can hear him at 2 o'clock on WEEI, although stay,
I don't know why you'd want to.
Stay with Patriots.com for John Rook in his basement.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Just why don't you listen to the radio now, and whatever everyone thinks, Paul will come in with the opposite opinion. Like Gagne should be back with the Red Sox.
Oh, he was still on the Grady Little thing last time I talked to him. All right, let's see. We always started off by, Eric the Leg is here.
Experience,
Eric, how's that raffle going? Am I going to win that picture?
It depends on how much you really want it, Fred.
Well, I want it enough so that if I don't get it, you might be looking for a job.
Well,
I'm only kidding.
Let's talk afterwards.
I'm only kidding.
Oh, bump Fred Kirsch, it says here.
Bump me up to the six tickets.
Six.
The $5.
Okay.
You know how...
Yeah. Yes, I know how it works. I explained it to you yesterday.
Oh, how much do I get for 10? Do
12.
I get 12?
Yep.
Okay, good. That should do
20
it.
20 will get you 24, Fred, just so you know.
I'm not going to post
30 will get you 36. No,
it was my understanding
neither
that
is this,
there would be no math.
Neither is this moron.
I'm posing nude.
If he wants to, he can.
No,
you said you'd
can't.
Take a picture and then do it. I can pose nude.
I do faces, Tom. In case you
I'll
didn't
give
notice.
You a face.
All right. Last week, we all had good weeks. And
where's Paulie Walnuts?
Big show.
He had to go to the big show.
Oh, excuse us.
As far as straight out, it was led by Eric and I, both at 11 and 2, followed by Andy and Paul, who were 10 and 3, and then Tom at 9 and 4. With the number, that was led by Eric at 10 and 3. Wow, that's good with the number.
Thank you.
Very good with the number. Paul and Andy were 9 and 4. I was 8 and 5, and Tom 6 and 7.
Yeah, I was due for a bad week.
Yeah, I guess so. So that leaves the season standing so far. Overall, Eric's leading 78 and 38. Although his, well, he's doing pretty good against the number, too.
You want to hand that over?
Try to read Paul's writing.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
57, 53, and 6. That's followed by Tom, 76 and 40, 58, 52 and 6. Paul, 76 and 40, 55, 55 and 6. Fred, 76 and 40, 53, 57 and 6. And Andy, 70 and 46. And with the number, he's only 50 and 60 with 6 pushes. So that's not too good.
Thanks.
But now I got to write this stuff down, too.
We should have started at noon.
Yeah. This is going to be tough.
Read the game, and I'll start talking,
all
and
right.
You can write.
Okay, the first game is
be tough.
Washington at the Jets. The Jets are giving 3.5.
The Jets are giving 3.5.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Oh, well, no.
No, okay. That's not right.
Okay, it says the Jets plus 3.5.
Yeah,
okay.
Hand it over.
Yeah, okay.
Hand it over.
All right.
There you go. Give me
all
the
right.
pen.
Giving it to Tom.
I'm going to take.
I'll give it to Tout.
Go play with your coffee cups, for the love of God.
I'm going to take the Washington Redskins to
win
this game.
Why didn't Paul pick his games?
He didn't pick them?
No.
I don't know.
Now we can look at all of ours, then make his
picks.
True.
That's not right. He said he was going to give us his picks.
I'll take Redskins both ways.
You know, the other thing I have an issue with is this is a new notepad. He wouldn't give me the old notepad with all the past stuff in.
It's got a porn password in it.
This something's up there.
Okay. Let's be honest. No one knows who we pick except for Paul, who sits there on NFL.com rooting for his picks to win every week. Embarrassingly.
It's true. But I'll take the Redskins both ways. That defense bounces back. They were so vanilla and did nothing against the Patriots. I say they throw the kitchen sink at Kellen Clemens in his first career start.
Yeah, I'll take the Redskins to – this game stinks. I'll take the Redskins to win. I'm going to take the Jets at home with the points because I don't know if Washington really blows teams out. So hopefully I'll get the hook there and they'll win by 3.
Wow. Well, I don't think they're going to blow teams out, but they're a lot better than they were last week. Obviously, they ran into the best team in the league. So Kellen Clemens, you know, first start. Yeah, it's all Washington here.
Is Vilma out?
Yeah, for the season.
Is Coles out? I think he's out too.
I don't know.
So I'm
those guys aren't trying anyway.
I'm going to go with Washington both ways in this. I think the Jets have mailed it in.
You know what stinks here?
A lot of teams have.
As we start to see these teams that the Patriots have beaten both teams, like we have mental images of our head of both teams just being absolutely terrible from seeing them in person.
Yep.
All right.
Next game, Green Bay at Kansas City. Kansas City -2.
Now, what does that mean?
It means they're a favorite by 2.
But they're minus.
That means
Kansas
they're giving
City's
away
favorite
giving
by 2.
2.
In other words, they'll still win even though they give away 2.
I'll take the Packers to hit some big plays as they did last week to win. Do the same here. They're probably going to struggle, give up some yards on the ground. But I'll just say Kansas City stinks, and even though they're at home, I'll just take the big plays of Favre and the Packers.
I like Kansas City big here. They're a different team
really?
At home. Oh, yeah. The AFC-NFC thing, Kansas City at home. I like Green Bay coming off that emotional Monday night game. I think it's a good spot for the Chiefs coming off the bye week.
Boy, you know, I have not been sold on these Packers all year. I guess the reason they're doing it is because they're playing other teams that are lousy because there's so many of them in the NFL. I'm gonna go against my gut here and pick the Pack both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers, too. You know, I think I'm not sold on Green Bay either, but I certainly don't think Kansas City's any good this year. And so I'll go with the Packers. Even
they're
though
in first place
City.
In their division, you know.
I know, but I'm not sold on it.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I know they're doing great.
They're in a horrible division.
Well,
too.
He didn't say they were doing great. He's at first place there.
Well, what are they? 5-2?
No, they're 4-3.
4-3.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Green Bay.
Oh
no, Green Bay. Yes,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You're talking about the
Chiefs are in first place.
Okay, next
too.
Game. That's crazy.
That's what I was
that's
talking
ridiculous.
About the Chiefs, and you were talking
I'm
about
talking
the Packers.
About Green Bay. Yeah.
Tampa Bay.
But I'm taking Green Bay.
I got you.
When's
you
Paul coming back?
I have you
Paul
down
Anthony?
Green Bay both
Can I get
ways.
2.5?
You get 2.
2?
Yeah.
Can I get 2.5?
You can buy a half from me for $20.
Right. That's 6 halves for $5, yeah. Tom, just so you know.
Atlanta's at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, 3.5.
I'll take Tampa Bay to win. Atlanta is one of the great sinking ships in a league full of them. D'Angelo Hall, I used to love. I don't really love the way he's handled himself as a professional this year. Maybe he's available. Maybe he can be a Patriot next year. Everybody wants to come play here. Bill takes loudmouth, outspoken players and turns them into all pros, and they're going to need a corner. So maybe D'Angelo Hall will be a Patriot, but I'll take the Bucks to win.
Yeah, Atlanta, despite that they have a win and the Rams and Dolphins don't, I think that Falcons are the worst team I've seen all season. So I'll go with Tampa Bay at home.
What was that rumor I heard earlier in the year? Was it Bobby Petrino to Bama? Auburn.
Oh, Auburn.
Yeah.
I say it's Bobby Petrino to somewhere.
I'd jump on that if I were him.
What's that number in this game?
3.5.
Oh.
How about Atlanta to L.A.? Falcons.
You know, why don't they just move San Diego there? I don't understand that.
Well, they had a deal with the city of San Diego. If they met certain conditions for a new stadium, they'd have to stay. And I think San Diego ended up meeting those conditions.
But the whole point of that moving to L.A. is so that they have a team that they can put games in that television market.
Right.
San Diego is Southern California, is it not? Just put the Charger games there. Why do they need to have an actual team in that city? That's what gets me upset about that whole argument.
LA fans
are horrible anyway.
I don't think
the
owners wouldn't like it that all of a sudden San Diego gets to adopt L.A.
Well, what do they care?
They care.
He knows something he's not talking.
I don't know. He talks to the owner all the time.
I know.
So
that's
he
what
says
I mean.
Something about an owner, I assume he knows what he's talking
about. That's what I mean.
But don't you want a team in Atlanta? Isn't Atlanta like Atlanta's one of the fastest growing cities in the country?
Atlanta needs a team.
It's not that good.
Their fan base is terrible.
No, I know.
The worst in all of sports.
If we're just going to base it on population and markets and stuff, right. I think Atlanta's one you'd want to stay in, wouldn't you?
Well, maybe you want to start fresh with that franchise. I mean, it's amazing what one guy can do to ruin the franchise, but Vic has done it. He's brought that franchise down. It's unbelievable.
All right.
Anyway, I'll take the Bucks both ways. The Falcons are horrible.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucks as well. All right. Next. What's he writing? What are you writing?
What he's
the picks.
Writing your picks he has down.
You couldn't even start it. At least he's writing the picks down.
And you just, I'll go with the Bucks too. You don't give any information whatsoever, so I'm stuck
That's
on
That's what you guys do. By the time it gets to me, I don't
need
Tennessee,
to say Tennessee, 4 over Carolina.
Who's starting this week? Carr? I saw Tester already getting rides to practice because he can't even walk.
Yeah.
So David Carr stinks. Where's the game?
It is in Tennessee.
I'll take Tennessee. I think they're the more testicularly fortified team.
Okay.
Wow.
I will take Tennessee big because of my AFC, NFC thing, and I just think they're tougher.
And Vinsanity's back for the Titans, so, yeah, this is a mismatch. I'll go with the Titans both ways.
Who are they playing, Minnesota?
No, Carolina.
Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I got to go with Minnesota. I got to go with Tennessee in this game. What's the number?
4.
4?
Who's playing the what, cart before
the
horse
number?
There?
Yeah, I'll take Tennessee both.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't read Paul's writing.
What happened there?
Oh, see, it's not so easy.
It's in Carolina?
No, the Tampa Bay is playing Arizona, not Atlanta. So does anyone want to change that?
I'll stick with Tampa.
God. It's look at the way he wrote it. You tell me that doesn't look like Atlanta?
What's the number?
Tampa Bay is 3.5 over Arizona, not Atlanta.
We picked a game that doesn't.
Is it in Tampa?
It's in Tampa.
I'm not even going to change my pick, I don't think.
Is everyone sticking with Tampa?
I'll stick
sure.
With Tampa.
Okay. San Fran at Atlanta. San Fran is a 3-point
favorite.
You got
me for Tennessee?
Yes.
Okay. They're playing Carolina?
Yes.
Blow us all up, Gary. Just blow the frickin' second hour up.
The only thing I screwed up was this looks like Atlanta. And I didn't read down all the games.
Fred, I'm talking about this whole debacle.
San Fran at Atlanta. San Fran.
See?
According to Paul, Atlanta's -3. That's according to Paul. I don't think it's right, but that's according to Paul's book. So.
Well, I'll take the
Atlanta's
points.
Atlanta's favored by 3?
I'll take the points with the Niners.
I
would.
The Niners are kind of falling apart here.
I don't care. Not any more so than the Falcons are falling apart, so I'll take the Niners.
I'll give you my analysis that I gave the first time. Despite the records of Miami and St. Louis, I think Atlanta is the worst team I've seen. I'll go with San Fran.
But the problem here is you might be fighting a higher power.
Yeah, I know the power we're
Beelzebub
fighting.
Is on the side of the New England Patriots and making sure that pick is as high as possible. So another win here would really hurt those causes.
Yeah, if they lose this game, they're in big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that all said, I still think the Niners will find a way to win by more than, what is it, 3?
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, no, Atlanta's 3, according to Paul.
Yeah, they're getting three.
Oh, okay. All right. Which well, that amazing. Doesn't – yeah, I think the Niners will win this game anyway.
Which
yeah.
may, in fact, be wrong.
I guess I'll go with Atlanta, San Francisco, too.
Whatever that number is, whoever gets it, yeah. Niners win.
Well, we know all Paul's picks because we all picked the same so far. So Paul will go
opposite
of us.
Right. Grady Little.
New Orleans -3 against Jacksonville in New Orleans.
Ooh.
New Orleans -3, Jacksonville in New Orleans. I am going to take the New Orleans Saints to win. I still think Garrard stinks. I still think they won't score many points against anyone, regardless of what you think of the Saints' defense. And I think the Saints are turning around and will put up some points. And is Stroud out?
Yeah.
He's definitely
I think so.
Oh, he's
this
getting
week.
Suspended, right?
Yeah.
But he appealed it. So.
Oh, he appealed it. Okay.
Yeah.
Either way.
Which was stupid because now he can miss later in the season,
right.
And
right.
That was dumb.
They'll attack that defense and put it up through the air, score some points, and more than enough points to win and cover.
If this game were in, it's in New Orleans, you said, right?
So. Yeah, do I get to go or?
Oh, I'm sorry.
If my AFC-NFC theory had one game, this would be it because the Jacksonville's one of those tough AFC teams. The Saints kind of a finesse team. Plus, Gus Johnson didn't steer me wrong last week, baby. He told me Quinn Gray was going to throw bullets. He threw 100 yards worth of bullets. It was enough. I'm going with Jacksonville again.
Wow. All right. Well, if this game were in Jacksonville, I might agree with you, but. I'll give the Saints the dome field advantage and
oh, see what he did there? He's not the best in the business for nothing.
God bless you.
I'm going to split this up. I'll take Jacksonville to cover, but I'll take the Saints to win.
Okay, Fred, thinking the game's going to land on one or two. next game, Detroit -3 over Denver in Detroit.
In Detroit. This is a tough one for me. Coming into the season, I would have thought this was a cakewalk for the Broncos, but my Broncos haven't exactly been my Broncos. And my Lions are still my Lions. So I'll take the Lions. I'll go against the old AFC-NFC thing here. I'll say the Lions put up some points, pull the upset, and I finally cut ties with those Super Bowl-bound Broncos.
Okay, I'm going to go in the other direction. If you had money, I'd say put it all on the Broncos. This is easy money. Denver wins big with the running game.
Really?
Big.
Wow.
Not even close.
Okay.
Why are you so surprised?
I am surprised because I completely disagree. But go
ahead. I do too, Fred. I think the I
I'm
like.
I'm a little shocked that everybody is. In
I
a
am
game
too.
Like this is on Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the
I thought Broncos, I'd be the only one taking Detroit.
The Broncos aren't the team that everyone thought they were.
No,
and
they're
so,
not who we thought they were.
Even though I've gotten burnt a little bit by these Lions this year, a little bit, but I'm still going to take them at home. I think they're a better team than the Broncos right now.
I think
Kitna can put up numbers. I don't think Cutler can as well.
Yeah.
He's struggling.
I think the Broncos, they've lost a couple, you know, heartbreakers this year. I think they're losing confidence. I think Detroit's gaining confidence.
Yep.
It's at home. I got to go with the Lions.
Okay. Next game, Buffalo at home against Cincinnati. Buffalo's getting a point.
Buffalo at home.
Buffalo's
I'll take...
at Cincinnati?
No, it's in Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo?
I'll take Cincinnati to win this. Just put up some points. It means nothing for their season. But it's just a team where they have more firepower and they can hit some big plays, and J.P. Lossman stinks.
Well, I know as a gambler, you always look around at the end of November, you try to find those teams that have given up, and then you start going against them. Every now and then you get a team earlier in the year. Now, the only team Cincinnati's beaten so far since the Patriot game is the Jets, who's already given up as well.
Right.
I don't think Buffalo's given up.
I
think they're trying.
I'm right with you.
And I think that a team that tries always beats a team that's not trying, so I'm going to go with Buffalo.
I'm right with you.
I like that new rule. A team that tries always wins.
I meant to throw in a more talented team that's not trying.
It's easier to lose than it is to win.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. I think a few weeks ago you might have said that the Bills were packing it in.
Right.
But I think they have turned it around. And whoever their quarterback is, it seems to be a roller coaster up there.
Well, it's Losman this week.
It, right. Edwards,
but I think
but,
for this game, I think that's big because Losman likes to throw the ball down the field more and get Lee Evans involved. And
yep.
I think you can do that against Cincinnati.
And plus, he's got nothing to lose.
Right.
Still no Rudy Johnson for the Bengals, right? Is he still in hamstring hell, right?
And I believe Kenny Watson is injured too.
Yeah, I think he got hurt
he's
the other
out.
Day.
He's
so
out.
I mean, just forget about it. Bills, I'm going to take the Bills.
Yeah,
both ways.
I'm
yeah,
going with
have
the Bills too.
How about this?
I'm right with that.
People
analysis.
Picking the Bills, the Lions over the Broncos. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
What the heck is going on out there?
How things have changed since the start of the season?
Yeah.
I had the Bengals in the AFC Championship game against the. Didn't you have the Broncos?
Yes. You had them in the Super Bowl.
I had San Francisco in the
Patriots.
Super Bowl.
So there you go. That shows you how much we know. San Diego at Minnesota. The Chargers are 7, and we're all going to take the Chargers. So I'm going to write that down now.
Yeah, my poor boy has become a punchline. Tavares Jackson.
You can't even say the punchline.
So yeah,
I'll take.
You have to throw to beat the Chargers. That's something that Minnesota cannot do at all. Chargers win easy.
And you talk about the teams that looked like they were giving up earlier in the year. After that Patriots game, the Chargers looked like they were done. All of a sudden now,
and
look
all of a sudden
out.
They stopped listening to the coach and just said, let's just play.
Let's just play. Yeah.
Put Paul down for the Vikings.
Next game is Cleveland at home against Seattle. Cleveland 1.5.
I'd really, really like to take the Browns, but I can't. I'm going to take Seattle. I just think they score more points, and I think they win this game. I'd like to take the Browns. I really would. I just can't find myself to do it even at home. And I know the whole AFC-NFC thing, but I think, you know, Deion Branch back, and I just think Seattle will put up enough points.
Oh, I like the Browns big in this game. Deion Branch at 50%, Hasselbeck injured. Plus,
he's out?
No, he's playing, but he's injured. And Cleveland is putting up a ton of points, especially at home. I mean, Anderson right now, I suppose, would be a Pro Bowl quarterback if they were voting right now. And I like this Cleveland team, especially at home against a team, to me, who's kind of starting to stumble along here in Seattle. So I like Cleveland at home to win this game.
This is another one of those earlier in the year I would have games where I would have said you're crazy if you picked the Browns in this game. But I'm flipped completely around. I think... I don't know if they'll win big, like you said, Tom, but I like them to win.
Nothing about big. I
thought you said that you'd like them to win.
No,
big.
I said I like Cleveland big, meaning that I like them a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, I like Cleveland both ways in this game too. I don't know, Seattle's one of those teams that they should be better than they are, and they always seem to be like that every year. And like you said, Cleveland can put up points at home, so I'm going to go with them.
Does Cleveland have a budding San Diego thing going on at quarterback where? They traded up to get Brady
Quinn,
kind
of,
and
thing.
Then all of a sudden Derek Anderson is their quarterback, and are they going to have to do something there?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Because he's a restricted free agent, I believe, after this year. So
I think they'll have to ship him somewhere to
get
something
out of him. Yeah. That's a dangerous game to latch on to Anderson, and then
Atlanta could use a quarterback.
You go 9-7, you get that last playoff spot. If you're Cleveland, do you? I mean, don't you got to stay with the guy who's kind of building?
Right, I think so. But if you have the cajon, do you trade Brady Quinn? Yeah. And if you see Brady Quinn turn to a franchise quarterback somewhere,
why don't you keep Brady Quinn for one more year to see if Anderson's the real deal?
My guess is you give Derek Anderson a high restricted free agent tender.
Yeah.
You buy yourself a year. Middle of next season, if he's legit, then I'm looking to sign him to a long-term extension, and I start saying Brady Quinn's available. Who wants him?
All right, I'm going to go with Cleveland as well in this game. Is this game on Fox or CBS?
This game is on Fox.
Right.
Unfortunately, at 4 o'clock for the people in Cleveland. No Patriots Colts. Sorry. Someone who will get the Patriots Colts, Oakland at home, 3 against Houston at 4 o'clock. But I know Oakland hasn't sold
out.
Right? And Houston, I think, is... At that, I mean, Houston doesn't matter. Houston's going to get the game, so they're out. Houston's the part that's out, and Cleveland's out.
Well, Houston, the CBS there is trying to pull a fast one.
Oh, are they?
They've made a deal with the cable company to put the Patriots game on, like, one of their Channel 3, their local access channel. Now, Fred's wondering when the league hears wind of this. Is the league going to allow this little deal?
Well, they might, because it's really CBS will
get viewers
the,
out
the
of
deal
it.
That the cable company's making. Is with CBS.
Right.
So it's to CBS's benefit to get that on there because of the advertising.
Right.
So I think the NFL might, you know, when they usually don't like it is when it violates something the broadcasters don't like.
Right.
But in this case, CBS is all on board with it.
And
but,
this is going to help break those record viewership numbers that we set against Dallas a few weeks ago.
Oh, I think even without that, you're going to break it.
Yeah.
So, bottom line, sucks to live in Cleveland. Oakland 3 at Houston. I mean, at home against Houston.
I will take the Oakland Raiders to win. Matt Schaub's banged up, right?
He's not playing.
He's not playing. I don't even know who their backup. Who's their backup?
It's what's his name?
Tony Banks?
No, I just had
Sage Rosenfeld.
Sage Rosenfeld.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nah, no Sage Rosenfeld. No win. Raiders win.
Yeah, Houston had something going early in the year. They've kind of stumbled a little bit. The Raiders. They're playing. I'm going to, you know, hate to take the Raiders as a favorite, but I'm going to do it here.
They're playing.
Yeah, I picked the Texans in the newspaper. What's the number again?
3.
But I picked them, so I'm going to have to stick with them, I guess.
You're pretty consistent with that, huh?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you who I picked in either.
I couldn't either.
This to me, is a tough one. And actually,
very tough one.
Midway through the fourth quarter of the Patriots game, they might be switching over to this one
because
it's a lot closer than the Patriots game is. Yeah, I guess I got to go with the Raiders.
Are you going to be okay with the Colts having that big lead like that?
Oh.
Who are you going when you said you're going with the Patriots?
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll go with the Raiders then.
Okay.
Now he's picking the Patriots to win games they're not involved in.
Well, they could. They have enough points to win both.
Dallas is at Philadelphia. What is this? Monday night? Sunday night? What's going on?
Sunday.
Probably
night,
Sunday night.
Dagnabbit. Dallas Pittsburgh. At Philadelphia. Dallas is giving 3 points.
I'll take Dallas to win big. Tony Romo celebrates his new contract in more ways than just allowing Britney Spears to give him a lap dance and puts up some big points against Philly. Mm. And Philly, not so good.
Okay,
I'm going to go with Dallas here. I think it'll be a close game, but they'll get blown out next week in New York. You mark that right down.
Okay.
The Giants will destroy the Cowboys
the week after game. Look at
by at least 17 in New York. That game won't be close.
Well, I'm going to stick with this game. We play them one game at a time here in the NFL, Tom.
All right.
So I'm going to go with the Cowboys big over the the hapless Eagles. I don't care for the Eagles. I don't think they're
this
very
is my
good.
Upset special of the week. I'm going with the Eagles in this game. I think that McNabb's going to have a good game. He had a decent game last week. He's going to follow that up. And I think the Eagles are going to get in a little bit of a roll here, and they're going to shock the Cowboys.
Okay. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh with a big number here, 9.5. Monday Night Football.
Well, I'm going to have to be consistent, and they lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Cardinals. But I think the Steelers are in the mix in the AFC. I think they're a good football team. As people know, I think they can run. I think they can play defense. I think they can throw the ball when they need to, despite what Eric thinks about Ben Roethlisberger. And if they can't beat up on the Ravens in this game, then they're not the team I think they are, but I think they do. I think they win big. I think it's another typical Roethlisberger. He's 8 of 9 with 2 touchdowns, and then they just run it on home and pound the hell out of the Ravens and, you know, 28-7 type win.
Okay, I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win, but I'm going to go Baltimore with the number here. I just think this is Baltimore's season on the line. They need to play a good game. I think they might be in it. I mean, I could see them getting blown out, too, but I think they put it all together for one game here, and they still lose, and then you just go against them the rest of the year.
The game is...
Andy, what's with those boots? Why do you wear those? You got these, like, old man zip-up boots on.
Well, first of all, I have no problem with you making fun of them, because I'd make fun of myself if I saw me wearing them. But I don't think they're old men. I think the way to go would be like metrosexual gay boots on.
Yeah, it's something. It's like a cross between something a farmer would wear in England or somebody would wear like with short dungaree shorts walking down
dungaree.
St. James Street in Boston.
Well, more importantly, dungarees. Why are you wearing jeans?
I didn't have any clean pants today, and Deidre left
this
early.
This isn't Friday.
I couldn't do anything about it.
What are you
when
talking
Deidre
about?
Works early, I didn't have clean pants. Nothing was ironed. Nothing was ready to go.
Yeah, because all your other pants, you're soiled.
Well said.
Speaking of soiled, what's your pick,
Oh,
Eric?
Great. Yeah, that's a good segue, Tom. This is 9 is the number?
9.5.
9.5, and where is the game?
In Pittsburgh.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
You guys were yapping for a half hour about your soiled pants, so I forgot what happened.
You have NFL socks on, too?
Yeah,
oh,
I
that
like
is
these
gay.
Socks.
Oh, my God.
Oh
socks
my
are nice.
God.
What are you
folks,
wearing?
You got to see this.
NFL
He's
socks.
He's wearing these ugly, ugly, ankle-high boots.
Those boots are ugly.
With black
I like them.
NFL
They're
socks.
Really comfortable.
Oh, my God. You make fun of me? Oh.
Wow.
Those are
this
bad
This is where we
boots.
Need the live video cam
I mean, maybe,
so we can zero
maybe
in
Maybe they're
this.
Cool, and I just don't know because I'm out of the loop, but they're not
Gary,
for me.
Are my boots cool?
Nah.
All the shots you gave me, you think I'm going to compliment you?
Yeah, but you're the resident metrosexual fashion guy.
Gary is?
Yeah, I'm okay with those.
He's got 7 closets. He has, like, owns tuxedos and suits, and he's got every... He's like GQ guy.
That doesn't mean he's cool.
It's because he goes to all these weekend affairs. He's got to have all...
What do you like, Phil?
All right,
what's
I hate to do it because, you know, my disdain for Roethlisberger, but I'll pick the Steelers to win.
I like.
Have you looked at his numbers for the season? Just
I do. I just
who do you like?
I don't like
the
him.
Number.
I like the Ravens to cover.
I don't like him. what do you have personally against Ben Roethlisberger?
I think he gets too much credit for the success of that team, and I don't think it's deserved.
I think he's a pretty efficient quarterback.
I think he's good.
Efficient is different from good, though, Fred.
Well, I think
we're going to get into one of those arguments.
No, I think
good, pretty good,
I think in today's NFL, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
No question.
There's no doubt about it.
So are you going with him, Fred?
Yeah, I'm going with Pittsburgh to win, but Baltimore to cover in a very nasty beat-em-up game.
He's a nice little player.
All right. Well, has anyone ever notice everything we do when Paul's not around seems to flow a lot better? Why don't you fire him? He's really holding us back.
Yeah, we all could get a bump up.
The Pats at Indy, here we go. Game of the century, part three, or whatever it is.
God.
Indianapolis.
Sunday can't come fast enough.
Indianapolis is getting 5 points. And to me, one of the most remarkable, just someone who has followed the number all my life, that's one of the more remarkable spreads I've ever seen. An undefeated team that just won the Super Bowl is at home. Who's better and is getting more than a field goal. Right. That shows you how good the Patriots have been, because this spread right here is unprecedented. Right.
Now, by the way, just before, so that you guys know now, I am going to big time you on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah? In lieu of who?
I'm going to St. Elmo.
Oh. I figured as much.
Did you want to go? Does anyone want to go?
Who are you going with?
Hausman.
I'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would be.
No, I'm serious. We can figure it out if somebody wants to go, but that's what I'm doing.
No, it's all right.
What do you mean by figure it out?
Well, he's got a table for four.
Oh. No.
And John Mitchell's going too.
I don't know.
Who's
that? Is.
At finance?
Yeah, that's too big for me. Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're...
I can't swear. I don't like places where I can't swear.
Different social.
No, he made the reservation like 3 weeks ago.
Tom and I go to St. Elmo's once a year.
Yeah,
we'll be there. That's right. You guys get to go.
We'll be doing it then, and we'll be okay. Fans sort of aligned me with yesterday that I think the Patriots are going to win by blowout. And while yesterday I was a little dubious of that, and I thought maybe it'd be a 10-14 point win, Bill Belichick, as giddy as a little schoolgirl in the press conference today, joking, complimenting Mike Reese's attire. I feel like it's before the Cowboys game where he pulled away. I think he's going to pull away in this one. I think the Patriots are just that much better. You know, you look at a spread, and it's week by week here. It's a different number. It's a small number, but it's still maybe shocking. Every week the number is shocking, whether it's 17 against Joe Gibbs, 5 against the undefeated champs.
And no matter what they do, they can't get the money to go the other way.
They're the better football team. They're that talented. I think their defense has a better chance against the Colts offense, and their offense has a better chance against the Colts defense. So I think they win, and they win comfortably by 3 touchdowns.
Okay, I'm going to take the Pats to win, but I just got to believe there's a team in the league that can play a little bit with them. I just have to. And given the 5 points,
why do you have to? Is it going to like crush you as a fan if there's only one?
You're just
team?
Saying the law of averages.
But Tom, if the Colts lose by 10, they've played with them by this
right.
league. Yeah.
No, I
yeah.
know. Oh, I understand that.
And they could still, the Patriots could still cover.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But I'm going to take the points at home just because I think it's going to be a close game.
Oh my God! If that's within that spread, I'm going to have a heart attack. Either way, I'm going to have a heart attack.
I'm doing
no matter
this,
who wins.
I'm doing it this way, Fred, because I think it's going to be a close game, and I think either team has a shot of winning. So I would split either way. But I would imagine if the Pats win, I do believe it probably would be by more than 5 points.
Right.
I'm just trying to try. I don't know who's going to win, so I'm trying to split it. I agree that if the Pats win, I think it'll be in the 10 to 17 point range, like you said, Andy, against Dallas, where it's close most of the way, and then they pull ahead. And if the Colts win, it'll be a closer game down to the wire. But who knows? For at least one more week, I got to think a team can play with the Patriots. If after this week I'm wrong, then we know no one can play with the Patriots.
Does that turn the second half of the season into the second half of games that we've been, where it's just boring and you're following other games and trying to figure out how it lines
up? I won't have any interest in the season whatsoever until the playoffs start if they blow the Colts out. There's no reason to. Did you really want me to get excited when we go to Buffalo other than going to Billy Ogden's?
Except
for the 16-0.
The intrigue of...
No, I'm not saying like, I hate my job. I'm just saying as far as like getting excited for the matchup, forget
about
it.
Well, that's like the second half of games when it's 38-0. You're not excited about win-loss. Are they going to hang 60 today? Are they going to get 7 touchdown passes?
Earlier we were talking about putting the brakes on in the second half of the games. Now we might be talking about putting the brakes on the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you want to go doing that.
Well, I'm just
all of a sudden you end up 13-3.
I'm just kidding.
I think a lot rides on this game because I think if the Patriots win, I think we're all going to be a part of history. You know, we're going to be on our deathbeds thinking, you know, I was there.
I remember.
Well, that's a big deal, though. You know, when you're
Jackson will say, "Shut up, Dad."
when you get to tell your kids, you know, when they're talking, you know, hey, I was on the plane with those guys that year. That's a pretty big deal.
That's really what I'm rooting for. Because
except for Paul, because
Paul will be and you know, oh, it was awful. And they were winning every game by 40, and people were
running
cheering.
The score.
15-1 is not going to be anywhere near the story, the fun. No. And even if they win the Super Bowl, it's not as fun.
No, it's 16-0.
16-0 is history.
Yeah, especially since this is the 25th anniversary of that Dolphins team doing it. Yeah. You know,
and imagine if they went 0-16 in the same year.
That'd be funny.
Well, quick little practice note. Yesterday, Asante Samuel was not there. Today, he was back there. Looked like he was taking part in
two hours to get
there for 45 minutes. Yeah, you guys had a circus trying to get these damn picks together.
You should have said before whatever.
Was Watson there?
Yes, he was there yesterday too.
Yeah, I know,
everybody was there except the small handful.
Who was the other team decision yesterday? Moss, was he there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was there yesterday too.
No.
Yes, he was there.
It was limited.
Limited.
Don't get confused with the report.
So the only guys that weren't there were Mitchell, Wilson, Morris, Alexander. So that's been consistent of late anyway. So
as I said to Tom this morning, somebody emailed in and asked yesterday or the day before, is Bill going to have more people on the injury report this week? Clearly the answer is yes, because those team decision guys popped up on Wednesday.
Right.
So clearly he added a few guys. I don't know. He did it last year
not
against
quite
the
like
Colts.
Last year,
not as bad, but I don't know what that's all about, if that's just they're on the competition committee, screw with the injury report thing, but he did do it a little bit again this year.
But I'll tell you what, we talked about it, I think, last week a little bit, the chemistry on this team being unbelievable. You can see that in the locker room and at practice today. Guys just enjoying each other's company, even while they're just stretching, joking
it's
around.
Amazing.
It's everyone's getting along with everybody.
I saw
this team
Chad
right
Jackson,
now.
Lawrence Maroney, Dante Stallworth, and Kyle Echol screwing around in the locker room.
Right. And then Rodney walked by, and they were all laughing at him, and he was...
You just didn't see that before.
I've never seen it.
I saw Rodney and Ventrone going at it, and Ventrone pushed Rodney.
Right.
This was a guy I did a story on because he never spoke in the locker room a couple years ago, and I just thought it was weird.
I've never seen anything like it.
It's amazing.
Especially the week of, quote-unquote, the biggest game of the century or whatever, these guys don't look like they're nervous at all.
No.
And I don't think they have any reason to be. They're going to win.
I think they know how good they are.
I think they do, and I think
they have a swagger.
And I think these last three games have really stoked their fire, losing to the Colts. I think they're going to win by at least 10 points. So I don't care what the number would have been. I would have taken them both ways anyway, but I think they're going to win this game big.
But that's the big thing
I
said yesterday.
I can put my pen away, Fred, if you don't mind.
Yeah, he knows what you're doing. If they the last three games, the losses, and how good they think they are right now, if they lose this game, they might have a little bit of a questionable next step. Were we just beaten up on lesser teams? How good are we? Is it the Colts we just can't beat? Are we 1A for the last couple of years? I think there might be some confidence questions if they do lose.
Yeah, and I think, like we said before, if they lose this game, they could still win the AFC Championship game. I was thinking about that yesterday. I think if they lose this game, they'll lose again in the AFC Championship. I think this is a big game.
They'll have
this
some mental hurdles to get past if they lose this game.
Well, it's home field advantage. There's a lot to this game.
But, I mean, just the fact that they've won three in a row, you're now the team that can't beat the Colts.
That's
it's not the Colts can't beat you.
That's
and
right.
You can't tell me anything different. You always, always assemble your team to go after the team that's on top. You know Belichick made a lot of these personnel moves with the Colts in mind. He would never admit that. But he brought in Thomas and Moss and those guys to play the Colts. And if it doesn't work, like Andy said, what's the next step?
Right. Well, Tom, you put away the pen. I don't blame you. If we had a TV show this week, I would have predicted Patriots 38, Colts 24. I'll stick with that. A 14-point win for the Patriots.
That's good.
You know, so
I think that's very realistic of you, Fred.
Okay.
When
am I not realistic?
Most weeks.
All right. That's it.
It's not.
We've got 10 minutes.
No, I'm just saying as far as the picks go, if you let me finish. So we got about 10 minutes left. We can get back to some other emails unless you guys have any other parting pick thoughts that you want to impart on us.
It's just amazing every week how many awful games there are that we have to pick, though.
The league is
bad. The league is really bad. Yeah. There are three good teams.
Goodell can look at all this other stuff he wants, but he needs to look at the level of competition in this league.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how much can be done at a league level.
Well, maybe he needs to work with the NCAA a little bit more and keep these kids in school or something.
Hey,
well,
Spike. I think he needs to work with owners to hire good GMs, coaches. I mean, I think that's where it starts. And maybe they need to do something like that. You know, they do it for the Rooney Rule, and they got to pursue Africa. Maybe it's just do a better job picking coaches, interview more people, do better research. I don't know, because it seems like, you know, the Raiders may have lucked into a good coach in Lane Kiffin. Who knows? But the way that unfolded is an embarrassment. That you're hiring coaches, this big multi-billion-dollar league, these $100 million franchises, and you couldn't get the guy you wanted, but you talked to his assistant, and his assistant was pretty cool, so you hired him. I mean, what kind of operation we run around here?
Man, yeah. People always wonder, you know, why do you like college football better? Because every Saturday there's a good game.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You're going to see good games virtually every time slot. I can right. find.
But it wasn't too long ago that you could say the same thing about the NFL. There were a lot of close games. They keep throwing out these stats. You know, X percentage of games are decided by four or less points, whatever.
Here's the thing, Fred.
It's only really recent. You know,
I don't mind teams like Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay, what they did. And maybe they don't work out. Hire in Childress, hire in McCarthy, and hire in, what's his name?
Marinelli. Hot Rod.
Those are guys, we don't, you know, they got their first chance at coaching. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. It's just this whole, like, the Wade Phillips thing and the Norv Turner thing. And I just, these are
recycling
talented,
old coaches.
Yeah, these are talented
right.
teams. There's so many good candidates out there, and they're afraid. And I think it's scared. They're scared to give it to a guy who doesn't have experience, like a Ron Rivera or someone like that, or a Jason Garrett in Dallas's case. But what's the difference if you give it to a guy with no experience or a retread who can't win? Right. We already know these guys can't.
And what's a team that went out and did a somewhat curious move? I'd say Tomlin. And where are they? They're one of the best teams in the AFC, which is the best conference. I mean, the Steelers were willing. Now, I think to some degree the Steelers did it because of the Rooney Rule. They felt, I think, some pressure internally, externally, whatever it is, to hire an African-American coach. But at least they took a chance. They didn't take, well, Norv Turner, I guess we'll just hire Norv Turner. It's easy.
Right.
No. So that's why I think you have to start at the top. Better GMs, better coaches will equal better teams.
Okay, let's get to some emails. Ken Norman says, I think the game winner is going to come down to whomever's defense is on the field longer. I don't think either defense has been on the field long enough to really test them and build their stamina. So will time of possession be a big key to who wins this game?
No, not necessarily.
So you're not buying that?
Well, I
think
the Patriots
be.
Got blown out in time of possession. Was it last week? I mean, they've been scoring points quickly. It doesn't matter. With this offense, it's not a ball control offense.
But
they could score a bunch of points.
I think it could be if the Colts own time of possession, because it'll be right. doing two things. It'll keep the Patriots offense off the field, and those older linebackers with the know-how, you know, do they start to wear down a little bit in the fourth quarter? So I agree with you. If the Patriots just score every time they have the ball, who cares?
Right, right. That's why the bottom line is the same as it's been. Somebody's got to stop this offense on some level. If you can't get a stop against the Patriots, I don't care if you're the Colts scoring, I don't care if you're the Buffalo Bills, you can't win.
And stopping a great offense just doesn't mean defense. It means your offense.
Right.
That's the one reason why I think the Colts are the only team that could beat mm-hmm. the Patriots, is because they have the offense to keep the ball away from them. You look at a team like the Redskins, and like I said, I was still impressed with the Redskins' defense in the
right.
first half. But they couldn't get a first
right.
down.
Three
so
minutes.
It doesn't matter how good your defense is, the Patriots are scoring.
4 minutes to go in the first quarter. It was a nothing-nothing game. It took the Patriots that long to score. They had to march 7 minutes to score, and you're saying, you know what, this is how we said they could maybe do it, but if you get no help from an offense, you got no chance.
Right. Sandeep is mad at me.
Should be.
He says, come on, Fred, be a man. Pick the Colts. My head is about to explode as I type this. I have more respect for Paul than Fred. Ooh, that's a low
joke.
Blow.
That's
wow.
a
I don't have any respect for
that's
Paul.
That's true, by the way. You have to pick against the Patriots one more time.
There is no way Fred has the right to pick the Colts after he picked the Cowboys. Come
well
on,
said.
Fred. Grow a pair, will you? Or admit that you were just trying to jinx the Cowboys by picking them.
Who are you going to pick
I don't
against
think,
the Patriots?
I don't think Fred has to pick the Colts because he picked the Cowboys, though.
No, but he has to pick them again because his whole theory was, I picked him to lose twice. I
don't
pick
have to now because I was wrong.
Listen, here's the thing. Fred didn't want the Cowboys to beat the Patriots because I would have had I would have been able to laugh at him for the rest of the year. So all he could have said was, well, I picked the Cowboys. You didn't. That's the only reason why you did it.
I picked the Cowboys, and they were the only team so far in eight games to have a lead in the second half, so that I was on to something.
Yeah, you were on to something.
You were on something.
Full of something.
You know? So
I just
there.
Think your whole argument was you have to pick against them twice.
I can't. Now I know I can't be right. So what good is it?
You're right. You can't be right.
Dave says there's only one way this game could possibly live up to the hype. And here's the scenario. First, the Pats are two TDs down in the fourth quarter, and Tom Brady gets knocked out of the game by Freeney. Then Matt Cassel comes in and drives the team down the field for a touchdown, which he runs in himself with under 1 minute left and breaks his leg crossing the goal line. Then Vrabel recovers the onside kick, and the other Matt throws a 40-yard bomb to Moss for a touchdown with 1 second left. Then the Pats win with a two-point conversion. That would live up to the hype.
That certainly would live up to the hype. Of course, they wouldn't win another game all year.
Needless to say, I neither expect nor want the game to live up to the hype. I just want the Pats to keep doing what they've been doing all season, leave the opponent in the dust, and win by at least 30 points. Mind you, I don't see that happening either. It's probably going to be a pretty good game. I see the Pats winning by a touchdown, maybe 31-24. There's just too much hype for any game to live up to it. I just want us to win.
Freddie, I got an idea.
Yes.
That made me think of that would be a movie if that happened. But I got a TV series I want to pitch to ESPN. It's sort of along the lines of My Name is Earl, but it's Bill Belichick, post-football career, going back and fixing things with Joe Gibbs, with all these people that hate him.
That's funny.
And Ernie Adams, like in Highway to Heaven, Ernie Adams is the other guy that drives the car around as they go around the country fixing all these things.
That's funny.
What do you think? ESPN buying?
No, I think I said that, Andy.
I think it's a good skit for Sunday morning on ESPN.
It would be a good skit for PFW if we had a budget and could put a real show together.
That's a good concept. I like it. Brian in San Francisco says, let's say the Patriots lose this game on Sunday, end up 15-1 or 14-2 for the season, and go on to win the Super Bowl and still break the offensive records that they are already on pace to break. Do we look back in 5 to 10 years and still regard this team as one of the greatest ever, or do the Pats need to have the perfect season for that?
No. They could still be one of the greatest to ever lose a game.
We're talking
Bears lost a game. I mean, teams lose games.
Dallas
none of those
13
teams are undefeated.
Right.
The question that would arise is if they do go undefeated, are they the greatest team of all time?
They'd have to be considered.
They would have to be.
Yeah.
Hey, Spike.
Sup?
Is that a new do?
That's what happens whenever they frou-frou you up here.
So, I like it.
It's called personal grooming.
Makes you look younger.
Maybe you should do it sometime.
Hey.
Wow.
It's called losing a bet.
That's good. I like that.
It does make you look younger, though.
Thank you very much. That's the whole
idea. Might be a little bit of that midlife crisis younger type thing. But
the word is that you're taking on Greg Easterbrook. You want to fight him.
Who, me?
Yeah.
That's the word?
That's the word.
I want to fight him? Who said that?
I hear things.
You hear things.
Yeah.
He hears things in his
head. They're in his head, right.
No, man. Yeah, that's true. That's
did you want to write a strong written letter to Greg Easterbrook. Isn't that true?
No.
Why don't you have him on?
Well,
I asked Gary, is there any way we could get this guy on?
And Gary was looking for a Red Queen.
He was on AEI.
Jesus.
So you've had no problems with Greg Easterbrook?
The only problem I've had with him is that I thought that he was a little bit acidic in his comments, and I thought that some of his comments on that Tuesday morning quarterback, column thing that he does were bordering on libelous or slanderous.
Yeah, but
actually,
didn't you think it was like so over the top that it was like, ah?
Well, honestly, that's the only conclusion I could have, but I also thought that because it got such a rise out of other people, it obviously got a rise out of me, at least initially, was that I thought that maybe there was something actually to it, that the guy actually believed it.
And plus, just because you say it's satirical doesn't give you, like, no holds barred, right?
Right.
It's like, no disrespect to the, and then you can't be a racist after that.
If it's not what he really believes, then perhaps he should most likely suggest that. Yeah. And I've seen nothing in his writing. And Tom, let me ask you: have you seen anything in his writing that suggests otherwise than what he was saying in there?
No, but
he hates the Patriots. He hates on the Patriots.
Right, but maybe he's got something
on.
I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know.
What are you looking for? What has he got?
I'm just saying, maybe he knows something. I mean, I don't know. I really don't. It's. I think it's somebody who
Greg Easterbrook, who hasn't been to a game in how many years? Well, he's got something on somebody.
I never knew who he was before this. Now everybody knows who he is. Now everyone's going to Tuesday morning quarterback. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
I said that right after he wrote that piece a week ago. I said, you know what? Now the guy is known. That's exactly what he and his editors at ESPN.com, page 2, wanted.
And it doesn't matter what he does from now on, because now people will go to Tuesday morning quarterback
to see
because
him
of
hate.
This.
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't try to hide it. Did you see yesterday's? It was a whole thing on DirecTV, but his is so long that they put like a table of contents on the side with links, and it says, this week's anti-Belichick item, and you click on it, you can go right down to the Belichick item. So they're playing right along with it, and they're fueling the fire.
Oh, yeah. Sure they are.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. In John's edition, he's going to be talking with Mike Chappell
from the Indianapolis Star.
Okay, and he covers the Colts on a daily basis, and he'll have some good insight with John in Patriots playbook. So we'll see you on Tuesday. See you next Tuesday. All right, bye.